claustrophobia on two levels. One had to do with being confined in a closed-in place, like a closet, and the other had to do with the use of his pillow at night. Listen in now as Jim and I discuss his results after just a few minutes with the FT.
I met the first time on Tuesday.
That's correct.
And today is Friday.
That's correct.
And we dealt with a few issues by tapping.
That's correct.
Now you're going to tell me what happened.
Well, we were dealing with a couple of things, one of which feeling, well, actually both of them related, feeling claustrophobic. And I went into a dark closet, which I was very apprehensive to do.
Matter of fact, I remember that. We closed the door and you went right up to a 9.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just the darkness. That didn't bother me too much. It was like the air got kind of stale and it just like I couldn't breathe well. And, but that's part of the phobia, I'm sure.
Sure.
And then you put me through the rigors that you do, and I thought to myself, I'll try anything. wasn't real, you know, like anybody else, you know, not real sure about it, and went through it. By the time you finished with me on that part of the phobia, I seemed fine. I went in there and just didn't have a problem with it, and all of a sudden the air wasn't stale. It was fine.
It was the same air, though.
The same air, absolutely.
Yeah. How long did that take?
I don't think that took more than 5 minutes to go through all that.
I'm not even sure it took that, but yeah, whatever, 5 minutes or less.
Right, and then we worked on the way I mentioned to you, the way I sleep with a pillow.
That's right.
And I put it by my face or my nose. I usually put it on top of my head, bunched up against a bedboard, and because I just feel very claustrophobic with that. And I can only say to you that I have been conscious of that because I haven't been sleeping real well anyway. But so a couple of times during the night, but being very conscious of what I was doing, I kind of didn't bury my head in the pillow, but I a little more than I usually do, and I didn't have any reaction at all, to be very honest with you. Absolutely none.
Yeah. And so it was a zero reaction.
It was a zero reaction both ways. And, I have to find out if, in fact, when I do fall asleep, and if I wake up with myself in that situation, I can't answer that yet because I haven't done it, but I can only say to you that I don't have the fear of doing it.
Patricia had the unfortunate experience of being raped at age 19, and of course she has had emotional intensity about it ever since. Adrian helps her get beyond it and learns in the process that Patricia told some other people about it, but no one seemed to care. Adrian sees these as two separate issues or aspects, that is, the actual rape and the fact that no one seemed to care, and addresses them separately. You will see that Patricia gets over both issues rather routinely. Will it last? Probably. But if she has emotional intensity about either issue in the future, it is most likely because some other aspect will enter her thinking process that was not present during this session. Another round or two of EFT should take care of it. Now listen. Here's how the session went.
I've got flashes of I was raped when I was about 19. So
okay.
Flashes of that effect made my feet kind of feel numb.
Let's work through that.
Okay.
Let's work through that. I assume that's a 10 when you think of it?
Yep.
Okay. Say, I want to get over this anxiety.
I want to get over this anxiety.
Rub your sore spot. Even though I have this anxiety.
Even though I have this anxiety.
I love and accept myself. Under your arm. Think about the rape and give me a number.
9.
Okay. When you think about the rape, are you seeing him? Are you, is it specific?
I'm just feeling, how I felt at the time, which was I felt stupid, I felt afraid, I felt,
This is somebody that you dated and he forced himself on you?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Okay, did you feel blame?
Well, I blamed myself for being stupid.
That's what I mean. Did you tell anyone about it?
Yeah.
And was anything done?
No, I after it happened, I went down to a neighbor and told him what happened. It was like nobody seemed to care, and I didn't call the police or anything.
Okay, see, there's a couple of issues here. What I'd like to do is to try to separate them. Let's stay focused on the feeling that you had, that you felt stupid, afraid, those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep that separate, then nothing happening about it, like nobody cared.
Right.
Then we'll work on that separately. Okay, so right now, what you're feeling is that you felt stupid, and you're blaming yourself somewhat because you thought you probably should have known what this guy was like or something, even though you know, what could you really do to stop it, you know? Your sore side of your eye and under your arm. Give me a number.
7.
Say, I want to get completely over the rest of this anxiety.
I want to get completely over the rest of
it. Great. Okay, rub your sore spot. Even though I still... Under your arm. Give me a number.
3.
Say, I want to get completely over this rape anxiety.
I want to get completely over this rape anxiety.
Okay. You're not... Under your arm. Give me a number.
0.
All right. Now I want to focus in on the fact that you went and told your neighbor and nobody really cared.
Yeah.
All right. What number when you think about that?
That's a 10.
Okay. Say, let's see, what can we call this? Come up with a name that's going to mean something to you. Even, I want to get over the fact that, I want to get over feeling bad that no one cared.
Yeah, it's just a, we just call it no one care.
Okay, care. I want to get over... The no one cared problem.
Yeah.
Okay, say that.
I want to get over the no one cared problem.
Rub your sore spot. Even though I have this problem. 9 gamut. Tap the back of your hand. Close. Give me a number.
3.
I want to get completely over this nobody cared problem.
I want to get completely over this nobody cared problem.
Rub your sore spot. Even though I have this problem.
No, I have this problem.
Under your arm. Give me a number.
0.
Boy, those are biggies.
Yeah, those are big ones.
Yeah. Did something else come up for you while we were working with that?
No. No. That feels good.
This next brief session helps Juanita get over an ongoing level of anxiety, which, among other things, causes her to overeat. Listen carefully, and you will be able to detect in her voice the change in her anxiety.
And you have ongoing anxiety right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a job, and I am heavy. I'm very heavy. The heaviest I've ever been in my life.
Well, I'm talking about your current anxiety at the moment. You just told me if on a scale of 0 to 10, it was a 7.
Yes.
Okay. Say, I want to get over this anxiety.
I want to get over this anxiety.
Okay. Now, tap on that collarbone point.
Yes.
And then under your eye.
Uh-huh.
And then under your arm. Remember where that is?
Yeah.
And then to the 9 gamut. Recall how that works? Now, tell me, on a scale of 0 to 10, are you still a 7?
No.
What would you call it?
I'd say more like a 2.
Okay, see, I want to be completely over this anxiety.
Okay.
Just say that. Say, I want to be completely...
I want to be completely over this anxiety.
Okay. Okay, under your collarbone again.
Uh-huh.
Under your eye. Under your arm.
Uh-huh.
Are you still a 2?
No, I'm pretty relaxed now. I don't care about anything.
Okay, is it about a 0?
Yes.
Okay, all right. See, once you learn how to do that, you will be able to relax yourself like that. And like, for the moment, you don't feel like you need to raid the refrigerator, do you?
No.
Right?
I don't have any feelings. The food at all. I just am happy.
Yeah, okay. Well, see how easy that is, and that's just a matter of your energy system being out of balance. You just balanced it,
uh-huh.
And the anxiety went away. And when that goes away, then your craving for food, et cetera, is going to start to dissipate. And, you know, life turns out better if you don't have ongoing anxiety.
Susan hurt her back on the golf course and, for relief, called Adrian for some guidance in the EFT procedures. People often get rapid relief with these techniques, but this was so rapid that it even surprised Adrian. Listen.
I'm talking with you, and you shared with me that you went and played golf.
Uh-huh.
And why don't you say what happened? You threw your back out?
I don't know. I went to hit the ball, and my big swing, and something popped in my back.
All right. So right now, on a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being the highest degree of pain, give me a number where your back hurts.
About an 8.
Oh, it's an 8. It's that bad. Does it hurt when you just sit?
If I sit the wrong way, if I move the wrong way, yeah.
So, okay.
Okay.
Let's say I want to get over this back pain. Okay. Tap.
Uh-huh.
If the pain was an 8, is it changing? Is it going down any, or is it the same?
Let me move.
Yeah, that's a sure test.
Wait a minute. I'm trying to make it hurt.
Yeah, that's what I want you to do.
It's gone. Damn. I can't make it hurt.
You can't make it hurt at all?
No.
So it's a 0?
Pardon me.
So it's totally gone then?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Damn.
Good. So there's no pain. That was such an easy fix.
I'm going out there again tomorrow night.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. If you can get rid of it like that, that's fabulous.
You see me standing in the middle of the third green doing this?
I sure can if you can keep playing.
I gotta fix it,
Right.
Looking at me like I'm nuts.
Right. Good. I'm glad that worked, and that was a very easy fix. So there's no pain at all, huh?
No.
Fabulous.
We visit once again with Jerry, a professional psychotherapist, who discusses her experience with EFT both for herself personally and as it compares to other techniques she uses. You will find the contrast educational. At the end of this conversation, we deal with a severe pain in her hip, which we relieve rather routinely. What is important for your education on these techniques is the discussion we have following that relief.
All right, you and I met at a hypnotherapy school where I gave a presentation, right?
That's correct.
Okay, and as I recall it, we started off anyway with a phobic reaction to heights, just thinking about them.
Mm-hmm.
And you were going to share some experiences with me. Would you do that now? And then we've had meetings since then, so just go ahead and say whatever happened just so anybody who's listening could...
Okay, my height phobia was, I think it was a 10. And as I was thinking about it, and this was observed by some of the people that were in the class, I was kind of swaying. My eyes were shut, but I was swaying, and I guess I didn't even realize I was doing it.
Yes.
And so there was this tremendous anxiety over this idea of being at the top of the Empire State Building. And as we kept doing it, I guess it was 2 or 3 times, it lessened and lessened, and until I even tried to convince myself, like there was no railing, somebody might push me. I kind of tried to work myself up into some state of anxiety.
Yeah, actually, if I recall, I asked you after we did that to try your darndest to get intense about it, and then you thought about there being no railing and somebody pushing you and all of that,
Right.
Right, yeah.
And I couldn't do it. Now, I haven't been at the top of any building to really test it out yet.
Sure.
But there's complete comfort in thinking about it. I mean, I wouldn't be anxious. If somebody said, well, let's go to the top of the Bank America building right now, fine. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't have a problem with it.
You are a psychotherapist by profession, aren't you?
That's correct.
Have you, I don't know, in your own practice, have you dealt with people with phobias in the past?
Yes, I have.
And have any of them ever gotten the kind of results that we got?
Not in the sense of as quickly. I haven't been doing it a long time, but some of the people that I have worked with panic attacks, I've been able to work with for a period of time, and they have lessened. They really haven't gone away. And I've helped them to deal with the attack, but
sure.
Really gotten rid of them. But the one thing that I wanted to share with you was really over, you had done some tapping regarding chocolate.
Oh, could I do something else just before we do that?
Sure.
I want to go back to this thing about panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't use this term, but I'm going to use it because I hear a lot of people use it, and that is one of the things we try to do with people who have emotional difficulties like that is to help them manage the pain, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
or manage the fear.
Right.
I mean, it's not like it goes away, but you need to be able to manage it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been my experience that it actually goes away.
Yes, I think that that's true.
Okay, good. Now, you were going to tell me about chocolate. We had a little chocolate exercise in that class.
We had a chocolate exercise, of which I really am quite a chocoholic. And I have had some hypnosis regarding chocolate, and my desire did lessen somewhat, but it really didn't go away. And so when we were doing the chocolate tapping, I also, instead of just saying chocolate to myself, I pretended that that was a lump of sugar. And because I'm really a sugaraholic, I have to have something sweet like every single night, every single day. If I eat a meal, it isn't complete unless I have something sweet afterwards.
Yes.
And so when I did this, I really have to tell you, I was a tremendous skeptic. And I thought, oh, yeah, right. I've been eating sugar since I was a baby. So I had seen you on Monday. Today is Friday. And I have to honestly tell you, I have not had any desire. I have not had any sugar in my tea. I usually eat strawberries, and I dump up practically half the bowl on it. I didn't, and they were fine. I haven't had a desire for chocolate or sugar.
You know what's interesting about that is that I will do that exercise with people, and most of people will get over their current craving for chocolate or sugar, whatever the case may be. But about 10 or 15% of them, something like that, we break the addiction totally and completely. And you're one of the 10 or 15% apparently.
Obviously. I mean, I have been, I'll eat a piece of fresh fruit and I feel perfectly fine. In fact, I thought what I'm going to do is I'm going to have some chocolate. Because, see, usually when I eat one bite, then I want, like, a lot of bites.
Sure.
Yep. So my daughter had a chocolate cookie, and I had one bite, and I literally just took a little tiny taste, and I said, it didn't even taste good to me.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. A lot of times people will say that whatever they were trying to get over no longer tastes good. It tastes strange. And you know, what happens is we straighten the energy system out in the body, and whatever anxieties that may have been there in the past fade. What happens is the body tends to act more normally towards these things. Because, sugar isn't good for you.
No, it isn't.
And neither are cigarettes and alcohol and whatever else you want to tend to get over,
Yeah,
And so your body just, it speaks to you in a different language.
Yeah, well, I'm fortunate. I've never had any addictions to anything but sugar. But
yeah.
The big one.
Yes.
It when I eat a lot of chocolate, it really doesn't make me feel good. I mean, I'm really sick afterwards. And then I went and I thought, well, I'm going to try it another day. So I went and I had a iced coffee mocha, which I used to love. And I had it, and I had several sips, and then I thought, and then I kind of tried to make myself drink more of it because, I didn't want to waste it and whatever. I got half of it down, and I just couldn't take any more of it down. I literally I threw it away.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah, very, very interesting. So I really... Now, I just have to say, I just am sold as to, the fact that if one is open to this, that it is very powerful.
Yeah. All right, what kind of pain are you having right now?
I'm having severe pain in the upper top of where my hip is, and kind of my lower back, it sort of connects in there.
Okay, on a scale of 0 to 10, how intense is it?
10.
It's a 10. Now, is it a 10 as you sit there, or do you need to move something to get to the 10?
It's a 10 when I touch it and just sit here. I mean, I can sit in a place where it feels a little bit better, but whenever I touch the place, it really hurts.
Like touch it with your fingers?
Yes.
Okay. Say this. Say, I want to get over this pain.
I want to get over this pain.
Okay, now do this. Inner tip of your index finger. How is it now?
Probably down to a... Three.
On that collarbone point, under your eye, under your arm, index finger.
I'm trying to touch it. No, really. No, it's negligible. I mean, I'd say it's like a half.
Uh-huh. Well, can you live with a half or you want to have a zero?
No, I can live with a half. It's great.
Okay.
Yeah, that's incredible.
But what I'd like to know from you is how long it lasts. Because I don't, see, See, think about this for a second, if you would, Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
What we just did just took probably 3-4 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and you were at a 10, and you're now at a negligible number.
Mm-hmm.
And all we did was tap on the energy system according to a method, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the interesting point about that is we got it all the way down almost to zero just by that. No drugs, no massage, nothing else, just that. Now, if it comes back, then that tells us something. And what that tells us, well, first of all, the mere fact that it went down means that a major contributor to that pain is a disruption in your body's energy system.
Mm-hmm.
There is some anxiety in the body, which is showing up in the muscles or other parts of your body, which is causing pain.
Mm-hmm.
So we straighten that out, the pain goes away. Mm-hmm. If the pain comes back, then one of two things happened. Either you did something mechanically to your body, like go off and try to lift a heavy weight or something like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, or some anxiety is coming back. The interesting thing is we got it down to zero by doing nothing other than tapping on the energy system.
Yeah.
Which means that was, you know, its disruption was a contributor, and I guess a big one.
Yeah, absolutely.
How's the pain right now?
Fine. I mean, it's not there.
Is it now zero?
It's zero.
Not even a half?
Not even a half.
Yeah, okay. Well, a little delayed reaction there, but it happens sometimes.
This next interview is with Dorothy, who is a professional hypnotherapist. She learned the techniques from me and effectively used them for her clients for everything from pain to the fear of public speaking to hiccups. Also, as you will hear, she taught the techniques to her clients who then used them on themselves. This is a fascinating look at the versatility of these techniques. Here's how Dorothy tells it.
By profession, Dorothy, you're a hypnotherapist, correct?
That's correct.
Good, okay. And I think you attended one of my seminars where I discussed. You were going to tell me some of the success stories or stories you've had with those techniques with some of your clients. But I'm curious about something, because I haven't asked you about this. When you came to that seminar, a friend of yours came with you. That she came up and she was so afraid of snakes that she would shake on the spot when you just thought about it.
Yes. That seems to have disappeared totally.
I know it disappeared as she thought about it right there in the seminar, because there were some obvious changes in her.
I see her frequently, and does not, we've talked about that, and she said, although I haven't seen a real live snake, the thought of snakes does not terrify me.
Oh, okay. Well, the actual way to test that, of course, is to go see a snake.
Yes, absolutely.
And like go to a pet store or something.
Huh.
And if you do that, I'd be curious as to the response.
I would, too.
Yeah, by the way, it may or may not cause her some discomfort to do that, but it would only do that if seeing the snake actually brought up some aspect of the thought that wasn't there when she was, you know, undergoing the techniques on that day.
Well, she's wanted to test that. She's a very busy person, and she probably just hasn't had the opportunity.
Yeah. Anyway, I gather you've had other experiences. Can you let me know what they are?
Yes, I can. I can talk about myself.
Okay. Might as well start with first things first, right?
Yes, of course. Do the important things. I have had a little bout recently with some gallbladder problem.
Uh-huh.
And I get a lot of pain across my back where I can't sleep, I can't lie down, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And when I do the tapping, that relieves the problem. Gary, can I put you on hold for 1 second?
Sure.
Thank you.
Oh, is it?
Anyway, when I would do the tapping, and I would do it 2 or 3 times, it didn't take away all of the pain because I realize now I have a couple of gallstones. But it would relieve the pain to the point where I could go to sleep.
Putting that in terms of numbers, I mean, was the pain like an 8 or a 10, and it dropped to a 3 or 4, or what?
It would start out at any place from a 9 to a 10.
Right.
And I would take it down to around a 4 or 5.
Okay, and how much time did it take you to do that?
Well, probably I did the routine about 3 times, and then each time it took it down a little more. To a place where I could at least go to sleep.
Sure, okay. All right, great.
Mm-hmm. And I've had some clients where I've dealt with some phobias.
Oh, good.
Uh-huh. I had a couple of people who were having public speaking phobias.
The number one phobia in America.
Right. And they, in both cases, they had no problem after that. It didn't mean they weren't nervous, but they weren't terrified. I think, in my opinion, we need to have a little bit of nervousness for public speaking. That's what gives us a little energy.
Well, you know what's interesting about that? Is when I get up to public speak, I have zero nervousness.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I can't wait to get up there.
Mm-hmm.
There's this little ham in me.
Yes, me too.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And it's my guess that if you did more of the tapping with the people, that little bit of nervousness would go away.
Well, that's probably true. And maybe I'm not calling it what it really is. I think there's an excitement.
Excitement, yeah. You know what else it might be? Mm-hmm. And this just in conversation here, but there's one thing to be terrified of public speaking. There's another thing to not be prepared.
Yes, absolutely.
And to have concerns about that. And those are different issues.
Yes, they are. But in both cases, both parties came through it in a way that even surprised me.
Sure. Okay.
And let me just think a second. I've had a couple of people with pain where I have used the tapping and have taken the pain. In one case, one woman had pain in her shoulder, in her left shoulder and kind of in her neck. And I did the tapping routine, and in that particular case, she eliminated the pain. It went away.
It went from a what number to a zero?
Oh, I think she had it up to about an eight.
An eight to a zero? Uh-huh. Okay.
And we took it down, we did it twice and took it down to a zero.
Okay, great.
And she was so thrilled and delighted. Now, and then I taught her the process so that if in the future she should injure that or she should do something to tighten those muscles and have some pain again, to know how to do that. And so that's what she learned, and it was on tape for her so she could listen to the tape and do it.
Oh, good. Okay.
I'm trying to think of a couple of others where I've used that. I used it in a class that I was teaching one night. This woman, once again a woman, she had a fear of spiders, a tremendous fear of spiders.
Mm-hmm.
And I used the technique with her in front of the class. And we did it. We went through it once, and her fear of spiders was a 10. We went through it once, and using the karate chop spot.
Yes.
And got it down to about a 7. And then I had her find the spot on her chest, the sore spot, and go through it once again, and it went down to a 0.
Oh, okay. It went down to a 0 as she thought about it.
Yes.
And, of course, again, you have to test it in the real situation.
That's true.
Do you know if that happened?
I don't know. Not after that, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because lots of times these people are there, and then, you know, I don't see them again.
Well, what's interesting is, in my experience at least, if you can get somebody down to a 0, well, they just think about it, and then you ask them to, you know, graphically think about it.
Yes.
And make them try to get back the intensity. If they can still stay at a 0, mm-hmm. the odds are about 80% they'll be 0 in the real situation.
Yes, and that's what I sure is true. Because in this woman's particular case, the thought of having a spider anywhere near her was kind of like my friend Susanna with the snakes. I mean, she literally and visually was terrorized. And the class that I was teaching that night watched her change before their eyes.
It's an interesting thing to see, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is.
And it happens instantly, which breaks a lot of the beliefs, in the field of emotional health.
Right.
Because these things are supposed to take a long time.
I taught the technique to someone who'd been smoking for a long time, and I also used a hypnotic technique, and then I also taught them this. So they quit smoking, and I'm not sure in that particular case, you know, which did what.
Right.
You know, so I wouldn't want to. So I adulterated both of them.
Sure.
By using the two. But in many cases where I had a woman who was, and I don't know what happened with this, Gary, but her brother had cancer and was in a lot of pain. And so I taught her the technique so she could teach him.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't. She was one of a class that I had. I was teaching, and I haven't seen her since. So I don't know how that worked. And I don't remember her name.
Right.
So I don't know about that one. But in several cases where there have where I've had clients with pain, I've used that. I've used it myself. I even used it with a child who had hiccups one day. That she could not get rid of these hiccups no matter what she did. She was about 8. And so I taught her this technique and the hiccups went away instantly.
Oh, really?
Instantly.
Now, that's the first I've ever heard of that. It doesn't surprise me, but I just never thought about using it for hiccups. And of course it would apply.
Yeah, hang on one second, Gary.
Go.
So I was just on the phone for a second. Okay. So that was very curious. She could not get rid of them. We were doing everything, drinking water, having some sugar and water, holding her breath, everything. And they went away instantly.
That's fascinating. I never even thought about that. But I'm sure it would work.
And she got them again the next day. It was a big celebration, 2 or 3 day celebration. And the next day she got really nervous, you know, and she got them again. And she said she came over to me and she said, "Teach me that again. Teach me that again." She's hiccuping. Went through it once again and they went away.
Yes.
Instantly.
When you say instantly, did that just mean one trip through the technique?
One trip through.
Yeah. Okay.
In fact, even though I took her through the second series of tappings,
mm-hmm.
after the first series and the gamut treatment,
right,
they were really gone.
Sure.
But I took her through the second one anyway.
Sure. Never hurts to add a little bit more to it.
No.
Well, great. Is there anything more, Dorothy?
I can't think of anything else at the moment, Gary.
Okay, I'm gonna turn my recorder off.
This concludes this section of the audio tapes. Please return to the main menu to choose more options.
We have a lot to learn about the awesome, wide-ranging potential of EFT by listening in on how Bonnie's entire self-image changed. She was subject to major abuse from early childhood and has suffered from depression, thoughts of suicide, trembling, headaches, phobias, and a seemingly endless list of other emotional and physical limits. She has been undergoing conventional therapy for all these problems throughout the last 28 years at a total cost of $50,000. EFT has, by far, been her most useful tool for improvement. Bonnie wanted very much to share her experiences with others on this tape, as she considered EFT a gift from God.
I really just want this tape to really help somebody. So I want to do well with it because it's been like a gift from God for me.
Yeah. Well, we'll just start it with that, Bonnie. Okay, let me see. By the way, Bonnie, it's okay if I record this and it's okay if others hear it?
Yes, it's okay.
Okay, that's the purpose, isn't it?
Right.
Let me see. Today is September the 16th. And you and I started telephone conversing with each other on the techniques back in March. According to my records, March 17th, is that right?
Yes, that sounds about right.
Okay. And as I recall it, you had been to, for something like 28 years, you had been to a number of therapists over time?
Yes, I started in therapy when I was 20, and I've had different ones on and off, and I've been very steady with the last one that I've had for the last 15 years.
Uh-huh, okay.
And he's very good. He lives quite a distance from me, so I travel probably 200 miles round trip.
To see him?
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah. And the issues you were dealing with, have they had a lot to do with, some childhood experiences?
A lot of childhood, many, many childhood experiences.
I should say negative experiences.
Negative experiences. A lot of feelings of that I didn't matter, that I wasn't important, that I I would always feel like the world was kind of swallowing me up, and I was like this one little insignificant piece.
And yeah, basically self-image.
Yeah,
self-image.
I never felt like I belonged anywhere or with anyone.
Right. Well, it was no wonder, because as you and I discussed these things, you were telling me a number of the difficulties you had, like with your father. You want to mention one or two of those and how intense they were when you and I first started working, and then what happened?
Yes, I can. One of the incidences that I had experienced at the age 9 or 10 was when my brother, who was about 2 years older from me, older than me, had apparently he went to a friend's house and had forgotten, I mean, didn't call to say where he was, and my father got very, very angry. You have to understand that my father was always a very angry man, and he liked to, we kind of worked at home as if we had, it was more of a concentration camp kind of an atmosphere. Like, we were always working all through the summer, digging up stones, putting them up on a rock wall. I mean, there was always something that he would find for us to do that was very, very, very laborsome. And anyway, to get to the point, is my brother didn't tell him where he was going, so my father found him and brought him home and stripped him down and tied him to a pole and beat him.
In front of you?
Yes, in front of everyone.
Yeah.
I remember running upstairs and shaking and crying. I thought he was going to kill him. My brother has had many beatings, and that of which was one, very terrifying one that I remember. And I still remember the closet that I hid in, and I remember his screams, and I remember all of his screams. So that was one that always stayed with me a lot.
That's like a traumatic memory.
Yes.
And you and I dealt with that probably the first or second time that we talked on the phone, didn't we?
Yes.
And how long did it take for us to address that? Do you recall?
It took, it took an evening, I believe, just a few sessions of the tapping.
Well, I think it took a few sessions of tapping for a number of your incidences with your father, because there were lots of them.
Yes, yes.
But I think for that particular one, as I recall it, I think we just dealt with it once or maybe twice.
Once or twice during that evening that we talked.
Yes.
Right.
And you went from an emotional intensity like a 10.
Yes.
Down to a 0.
Yes, I also remember having a lot of shaking when I would talk about it, which I have none of now.
Yeah, you told me your legs would shake.
My legs would shake, and I felt very quivery, as I always would feel when I would talk about something that was extremely traumatic to me.
Yeah, your father, even at one point, if I recall it right, Bonnie, said he would, he threatened to cut your eyes out if you dropped some delicate thing you were holding.
Yes, he did. I was maybe I was 6'5", 6'7", something like that, and he used to get these porcelain figurines from Germany, and they were very delicate, and I used to always be in love with the doll type ones with the very delicate porcelain lace on the dresses, and I remember admiring one of them, and he told me he would cut my eyes out if I ever broke one. So I remember that scaring me really bad, that I could never touch one or enjoy one. And always being afraid that if one got broke, that it would be my fault, even though I didn't break it, that I would lose my eyes.
And that kind of thing contributes to a poor self-image, because that's not a very loving father.
No, it isn't.
Yeah.
I seem to remember trees or something. I don't know whether we were camping or what. When I remember the time, I sort of remember maybe we were out somewhere. I don't remember exactly where.
Well, let me interrupt you for a second, Bonnie. When we were talking a minute, or when you were talking a minute ago about this issue with your father saying he would cut your eyes out and watching your brother being beat and this kind of thing.
Right.
What kind of emotional intensity did you have as you were saying it?
I had a good 10, and I had the same trembling and the quivering and.
No, I don't mean then. I mean just now as you said it.
Oh, now I don't have any. I have a recollection of it happening. I have a little bit of sadness with that, but I don't have anything that isn't, you know, it's all gone. I don't have any of the trembling. I don't have any of the terror that went with it.
And, you know, what I would like to just kind of emphasize for those listening to this tape is that you and I dealt with those issues with your father one or two tapping sessions each, and that was 6 months ago.
That's right.
At the time, you had tears. Your body was shaking and trembling.
Right.
And now you talk about them. They're not your favorite subject.
Right.
But you talk about them rather calmly.
Yes, I do. I would cry when I talked about it. I do remember crying and even kind of losing my composure there.
Mm-hmm.
Did talk with you about it, and I was just amazed at how quickly that vanished.
Yeah. And you and I haven't talked about that, or at least treated it, or, you know, dealt with it for this whole 6 month period. Since that one or two times, we haven't done a thing with it.
Yeah, I don't think about it.
Yeah,
I just don't think about it anymore.
Well, interestingly enough, you may think about it, but what you call not thinking about it is when it comes up in your memory, it doesn't have the same emotional sting with it. Therefore, it doesn't seem like you think about it at all.
Right, yeah, it doesn't have any of that emotional sting. I can say, as a matter of fact, yes, that happened. That really happened. That was a sad time in my life, but I can talk about it with a lot of calmness, and it doesn't destroy my day.
Sure.
And I don't carry a rage with me. And I don't anymore feel very cheated. I feel like I'm really enjoying life now, and I couldn't do that before.
Mm-hmm. Good. You also had headaches, I think, with some frequency when we first got together.
Yeah, I had headaches coming and going, yes.
How intense would they get, and how often would you get them?
I can't recall how often. I did get them frequently. They were tension headaches, worry kind of headaches, and they would come frequently, and they would pulsate like a sore tooth. They would just really hurt, especially when I would bend over.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just amazed at how the tapping would get rid of that, and then it wouldn't return.
How many headaches? Yeah, that would be true in our session.
Right.
Now, you'd have a headache during our session, we would tap on it, and it would go away and wouldn't come back the rest of the session. My question to you is, having done that a few times over time, how often do you have headaches now?
I can actually only recall one or two in all that time that long time ago we took care of them. Maybe one.
Oh, in the last several months, then only one in the last several months or two?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Probably.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, if it was even two, I can't really recall two, but I do recall one.
Yeah, you had also mentioned to me just some little things here. This is, again, early on, that you had something that you called body shame.
Right.
You want to go over that?
Yes. I have a lot of shame. I had a lot of shame about my body. I was always very worried that I would look like my grandmother, and I would be this kind of round little ball rolling down the street. And,
mm-hmm.
and although, I mean, I'm really not an overweight person. I probably am 10 pounds overweight. But to me, that always felt like 300, and I didn't want to put on a bathing suit. I don't like putting them on one now yet, but when I put it on, I don't have that shame. I can go out to a pool, and I don't still think about it, you know.
Yeah, there's a difference between carrying more weight than you want and being absolutely ashamed of it.
Right. Oh, I was always before thinking they're going to watch me, they're looking at me, they're making fun of me. I know they're seeing how fat I am, they're looking at my stomach, and I had a real worry about that, and before I, you know, if I knew ahead of time I was going to be going swimming somewhere, I'd want to, like, go on this real quick diet.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And, but it never worked, you know, it never worked.
Yes.
And then we did the tapping with the body shame, and I found out that I didn't feel the same way in a bathing suit like I did before. I mean, I don't like to put one on, but I would put one on if I had to, and I wouldn't have all this talking in my head.
Mm-hmm, sure. Another thing, if I recall it right, had to do with a lady at work that you felt some inadequacy about. I think her name was Jean.
Yes.
How did that work?
That worked out fine. I actually, instead of having the envy, I actually, in some ways, see her as a role model for me.
Yeah, but it used to be you were you were very envious, if not jealous, of the way she carried herself, the way she looked, the way she dressed, etc.
Yes.
And you felt very inadequate when you were around her.
Yeah, I think it was more of an adequacy thing, and that seems to have disappeared. It has disappeared, and I just see her differently now. I actually can learn something from her. It's a real positive experience instead of a negative, and she's really very nice.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting how these processes work, because once you take the negative part of your emotions and your thoughts out of it,
right,
it lets the positive sort of bubble up to the top.
Right.
And that's what happens when you deal with self-image. See, in your case, we've dealt with so many, seemingly endless, Bonnie, a number of issues that you had to deal with,
mm-hmm.
and we took care of them one by one. In fact, we called it like a forest, didn't we? And the forest had lots of trees in it.
Right.
And in your case, it was like a jungle, and you couldn't find your way out.
Yeah, it's thinning out pretty good.
And we would knock down a tree at a time.
Yeah.
And little by little, a new Bonnie would come to the top,
And I used to think, well, the forest is so big. Will we ever get all the trees? And, I had that feeling for quite a while, and now I think, yeah, a good part of the trees are gone. It looks like the end. It will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have that hope before that it would ever be like that.
You also bit your fingernails too.
Yes. Yes.
Tell us what happened there.
Well, I bit my fingernails for a long, long time. I was very, very small. My father used to tape my fingers together, and they tried everything. They put everything on my hands. Probably a lot of toxic stuff, I don't remember, and I still bit them until we did some work with that a couple months or so ago, and I don't bite them that way anymore. I don't bite them. I had my first manicure a couple of weeks ago.
You did your first one?
My first one in my whole life. Yeah, they're not real, real long because they grow very slow and they're very thin, so they break easy. But the fact that I had an interest in getting a manicure, was great. It was a good experience to go. I'm thinking, gee, I never did this before. I never ever thought I would be able to.
Right. You also had a rather unique phobia.
Yes, a gagging phobia.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, was it a dentist was going to put something in your mouth, like one of these wooden things, and you couldn't have him do that?
Yeah, I would gag when they tried to do the x-rays. I couldn't wait for them to get it out of my mouth, and I would have trouble when I go to the dentist. But putting a pencil in my mouth, as simple as putting a pencil in my mouth, if it went too far past the front of my teeth, I would start to gag like I was going to throw up. And so I never knew what it was from or who had hurt me or what had happened with that. And we did the tapping with it, and I haven't gagged anymore. It's gone.
As I recall it, what we did with that tapping, in fact, I think it just took about 2 minutes one time, and you used a pencil, put a pencil in your mouth.
Yes.
And you gagged right away, and then we did the tapping, and you didn't gag.
Right.
And you haven't done it since. Do you have a pencil now?
Yes.
Why don't you put it in your mouth and see what happens?
Nothing. Nothing happens at all.
Yeah, okay.
Way back, it doesn't happen. It's gone.
A lot of people, Bonnie, question these processes. They say, well, yeah, I can see some immediate results, but they always ask, does it last, And you are a testimony, I hope, to the fact that it lasts, because we did these things months ago, and they're still holding for you.
Well, I tell you, Gary, when I called you, I was saying to myself, this has just got to work, because I don't know what else to do. I felt like I've had so much therapy. I knew an awful lot. I changed an awful lot. There were just some things that just weren't changing, and my therapist told me about these techniques and given me your phone number. I was just hoping you would talk to me. And then when you did and we got on the road with it, I had nothing to lose.
Sure.
And I really, I mean, when it's, I saw it starting to work, I thought, oh my gosh, this is like a gift from God. I mean, this is, it was just too good to be true. I just feel like it's given me so much of my life back. And, I'd missed so much all these years from having all of this that I've tried, all of this, these emotions and these things that have happened to me and the kind of life that was given to me in the beginning. And now, I mean, I wake up and I just think that I would never enjoy another day without remembering, what this has done for me. So I just don't know what else to say. I think it's wonderful.
All right.
I think the tapping is definitely, it's quick. It works. Scientifically, it makes sense to me. I mean, because I believe it. I mean, it makes sense when you explain it and how the energy can get clogged. And it makes sense to me. And I think that, financially, it would have been a big savings if I'd have been introduced to this years and years and years ago.
I think you and I sat down one time and estimated how much you actually spent between you and insurance companies spent with therapists.
Oh, yeah, thousands and thousands.
It was like $50,000 was an estimate, I think.
I mean, it's when you figure a week, 200 miles a week driving, that's 800 miles a month. If there's five of those sessions in a month, that's 1,000 miles.
Yes.
Do that times 15 years.
Yes.
And that's a lot. You add that up, and the commitment, and I was just so committed that I wanted to have a life for myself, no matter what it took, and it was a lot of hard work and a lot of commitment, and now I found this, and it's almost too good to think that I'm gonna really be where I need to be for the first time in my life.
Mm-hmm. In the last couple of weeks, or I should say in the last few days, you called me a few days ago, and you have, and it's a personal issue with you, so we don't need to go into detail on it, but you have a family issue that you're dealing with, which is potentially very severe.
Right.
It is the kind of thing that emotionally would have brought you to your knees 6 months ago.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to work. I mean,
And yet you were as calm, it wasn't your favorite circumstance, but you were as calm about it. You had your feet on the ground, you had some confrontations you had to deal with.
Right.
And, I was quite pleased to hear just the tenor in your voice that you were handling it without just totally falling apart.
Right. Yeah, I did. I mean, I think back and I think, yeah, I'm really handling this. I couldn't have done it before. I would have been a basket case. I mean, that's not to say I didn't have worry and concern, and I'm not happy about it, but I'm just more together with it. I'm handling it. I have more coping skills. It's just amazing.
Have you had people that you know comment on the changes in you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and how I know that, even if they don't comment, they respond to me differently, and that's how I know it's changed.
Mm-hmm.
But I've, had people just say, gee, you just seem so more together with this, or are you okay? Like, they ask me because they expected me to react differently, and when I don't, they're wondering if something's wrong. I said, no, really, I'm doing fine, when they're used to me kind of, getting very hyper about it, and I'm really calm. I think sometimes they think that maybe I'm hiding it and I'm not going to be okay. So they tend to worry a little bit, but I think that's getting a little better. But I also find that in my work and professionally with where I work, that people respond to me better. I can go through interviews better. I'm not afraid like I was before. And I can say to myself, I can do that, or I can learn that. Instead of I can't do that, I'll never do that, I used to do this one thing. I used to look at myself in the mirror, and I used to hit myself because I hated myself. If I didn't look right, I'd pull on my blouse and say, you're stupid. You don't look right. You'll never do anything right. And I always had this, it was just awful because I just never felt like everybody else. And I always felt like everybody had it together, and I was the one who was all screwed up. And and everyone else's opinions mattered, and I didn't have any good information. I never had anything to contribute, and I don't find that I never have that problem anymore. I mean, I feel like I bring as much into a relationship or a conversation as the next person.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I have to be the most knowledgeable person. That's okay. That doesn't make anybody smarter than me. You know, so I'm much kinder to myself, much more aware of my talents and my knowledge, and that I do have things to offer, and that I am valuable. I mean, there's just so much is changing. I probably, when I hang up, I'll probably think, gee, why didn't I tell him that, or why didn't I tell him that? Because it's just so many things.
Well, call back.
I was always like this ugly duckling kind of kid, but I really wasn't. I mean, I'm a very attractive woman who always gets a lot of compliments, but I never felt pretty. And I, you know, as a girl, I never felt pretty. I never felt valued. And I carried that with me for a long time. When people would say, you know, you're really a pretty lady, I would look at them like, I wouldn't know how to handle it. I would get very uncomfortable. Then I'd start thinking, but I said, oh, but my hair is, it's Matthew Brown, or, you know, this, or, you know, I would always find some little thing to kind of counteract that good compliment that they gave me.
Do people compliment you now?
They compliment me now, yeah, and I just say thank you, and, you know, and, I mean, I just say thank you. It's, you know, all right, I really like that dress, where before I say, oh, but it's all wrinkled, you know, I always find something, but I don't do that anymore. I just kind of enjoy the compliment, and it's nice, so.
Yes. You know, perhaps the number one disease in America, and this is me just talking, centers around poor self-image.
Yeah, I believe that.
To one degree or another.
Right.
And I think almost anybody, if they will do this tapping for a variety of issues, you know, daily for a while.
Right.
Changing issues from time to time, their self-image is going to shift to the positive, and that's simply because they will be doing what you have done, and that is cut down some of these trees out of the forest that we all have.
Right.
And after a while, there's not many trees left, and you can walk right out of it, you know.
You know, and the thing is that, like, we can work on one issue, and that'll work itself through, but as you do the tapping, what happens is all of a sudden, like, the changes are subtle. Like, you notice, well, I didn't do that this time. Well, I didn't think the same way about it, and it just happens. I mean, the tapping will look weird. I mean, you'll feel weird while you're doing it, but let me tell you, I don't care how weird it is, I'll lock myself in the bathroom because it really works.
Yeah, well, believe it or not, Bonnie, I do it in restaurants, and people look at me, you know. But I'm used to it. I don't really care anymore, you know. But you hit an important point, and that has to do with a phrase I'll bring up called generalization.
Yeah.
When we start dealing on a specific issue,
right?
For example, let's go back to your father. I mean, you mentioned to me numerous issues with your father. We only talked about a couple of them, I think, early on in this tape.
Yeah, I touched on some of the bad ones. There's so many, but
yeah, there were so many of them. However, after we dealt with two or three of them, you didn't get revisited by or have problem with any of them, even though we didn't deal with the others directly. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do.
And they still don't come up. I mean, they just sort of got generalized when we did two or three of the main issues.
Right.
You know?
I noticed that the reaction to some of the others just wasn't, to some of the new ones I brought up, wasn't anywhere near what it would have been.
Yeah, how do you find your ongoing daily level of anxiety? Has that shifted at all?
I have more calmness than I had before. Right now I have this other family type thing, and it does create a certain amount of anxiety for me, and I am working on that, but I'm able to work on it. I mean, I see an end to it. And
well, it's a very anxiety-producing situation. I happen to know what it is, you know, but
legally, there's all kinds of dangers. I mean, it's just, you know, I had to put this alarm system in my house, so, you know, there's a potential danger that someone could hurt me. And, you know, it's not nice. It's not pleasant. I wish it wasn't happening, but it's happening, and I'm getting through it. And
Bonnie, I interrupt you. You ought to hear your voice. The calmness in your voice talking about this, when you genuinely could have somebody come there and cause you physical harm,
right?
You could not have said that 6 months ago. I mean, you could not have called me without crying and everything.
Yeah, and I mean, I...
And shaking?
Right, crying, shaking, and just being really worried about things. And I mean, I can collectively think, I have a plan, and I have all kinds of things in place. Like, I have an orderly fashion of how I have to deal with all of this. And I went about and took care of a lot of this, and it's okay, it's working. And I just don't know what the outcome's going to be, but I hope it'll be all right. But I'm okay with it. I mean, I just have to go through with it.
Sure.
So we'll see how that works out. But I understand that, I mean, I just know that I'm different.
Listen, Bonnie, I am talking to a different person than I talked to 6 months ago.
You really are.
I wish we had recorded that 6 months ago where you were.
Yeah.
And we could play this contrast, and I wish you could hear it. Last night, you and I were talking, and because of the some difficult family circumstances, et cetera, and a lot of tension-producing things in your... You've had some difficulty sleeping for the last few nights.
Yeah, I've had trouble sleeping for the last week. I wake up at night and I have this feel very anxious and just couldn't sleep. We worked on this last night, and I lay down and I wondered if I'd fall asleep, and before I knew it was morning. And I slept all night. I haven't slept like that in 5-6 days.
Yeah, actually, I think if I remember it right, your time, it was like 9:30 or 9:45, and we were using the tapping directly for insomnia.
Right.
And being able to go to sleep.
Right.
And then you're already in bed.
Right.
And so you just hung up the phone. And how long do you think you were awake before you went to sleep?
You know, I don't think it was long at all, because I don't remember tossing and turning.
Was it like 5 minutes, do you think, or 20, or could you even guess?
I would guess it was probably 5 minutes at the most, 10.
Oh, okay. So you went to sleep and then conked out all night long?
Yeah, I conked out. I woke up, I heard my radio go on, and I thought, God, I slept all night. I just really needed it. I mean, I need another night.
Yes.
Like that. So I was really grateful.
I quite often find people with insomnia that have not slept for some time or have difficulty sleeping, and when we do this, and it's not always successful on the first round, by the way, but when we do this, they will get a great night's sleep, and it's something that they couldn't have done otherwise without it.
Yeah, I slept really sound, and I was really, really glad, because I needed to do that.
Yet the tension involved in this family circumstance is probably as intense as it's going to be. Isn't that true?
It's going to get worse.
Oh, it's going to get worse. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it could get a lot worse. I this next week will tell what will happen. But after I get a court hearing and things go. But the thing is that this experience that I'm having now would probably drive most people to the doctor to get a tranquilizer or an antidepressant, something to help them cope with it. And I haven't done that. I've done that in the past.
Yeah, it would have driven you to do that in the past.
Yes, it would have. And I have done that in the past, and I don't like to take those things because I don't like the feeling I get from them. So I'd much rather try to do it on my own.
Yes.
And the other thing, too, I forgot to tell you is that I am a runner, and I have more energy when I run. I mean, before I would just feel so drained emotionally that my whole body felt heavy. And even still being overweight, I don't feel heavy when I run. I just put my shoes on and go. I have more of a drive to exercise and to do the things that I before just seemed like such a chore.
The difference in heaviness, or the lightness, if you will, is emotionally created. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, my mood. Because yes. Before, when I would be depressed and try to run, forget it. I mean, I would just force myself to do it, and I hated it, you know. So the experience wasn't even good.
Yeah, by the way, I want to point something out to you. In the early parts of our conversation, many, many months ago, when we first started doing this, the term depression was in your vocabulary quite frequently. I don't hear it much anymore.
The word can't was also in my book.
Oh, that's right.
Remember that. If you remember that, it was.
But are you aware that you don't use that word depression very much anymore?
No, I don't get depressed anymore. I mean, I can be disappointed about something and not happy, but I'm not depressed about it.
How often before you and I started dealing with these techniques did you get depressed?
A lot. I was depressed every day.
Oh, every day?
I would say that every day I went through some sort of depression or depressive kind of feeling about something.
And how often do you have depression feelings now?
I really don't have them. I have concern. I might not be happy about something. I might have a mood change for a little while, but I don't have the depression that I had. And I also would I have to go talk to someone else to make myself feel right, you know. And now I can make my own self feel right. I don't have to ask someone else that. I might share the experience with a friend, but that's different than needing someone else to tell me that I'm okay.
When do you think was the last time you felt depression? How long ago?
Maybe about 4 months ago.
4 months ago. Okay.
Yeah, I noticed that depression started to lift. The more trees we got out of the way, the depression would start to really lift. I found that it was, became aware that, gee, I haven't been depressed this week, or, gee, that really didn't, I didn't dwell on that. That didn't get me down, you know.
And now it's been 4 months. I would have guessed that too, because I think after about 2 months of doing this with some regularity, I was noticing that in you. I would have guessed that myself, even though I never asked you that question before.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a guess, but I know that it's been a long time since I've been depressed, so I'm easy to say. It didn't happen overnight, but it did happen that it stopped.
Yes.
No.
And for how long before you and I ever met with these techniques, were you having a daily or almost daily depression?
I'm sorry, wait, how long before?
Yeah, before we started doing this on March the 17th.
Oh,
how long before that? For how many years or months or whatever before that were you having daily or almost daily depression?
I've been depressed most of my life. I mean, seriously, I would say that I was depressed at least several times a week. Always worried. You have to remember that.
Sure, back to childhood?
Oh, yeah, my childhood. Mm-hmm. Very scared, very depressed as I was growing up. If I had to stop right now because I couldn't continue, I could live the rest of my life with a lot of quality.
This concludes this section of the audio tapes. Please return to the main menu to choose more options. What you are going to hear next is an extraordinary series of physical improvements, all made by Steve over a 2-month period. Steve was diagnosed with a rare ailment known as hemolytic anemia and was getting nowhere with conventional approaches. He called me 2 or 3 times per week for guidance in the tapping techniques and, of course, informed his physician of what he was doing. Listen carefully as Steve tells this story and remember that the only thing he did differently was EFT.
Steve, according to what I've got here, we started working together on the April 28th. What's the date today?
July 5th.
July 5th. So how long has that been? That's been 2 months or so?
A little over 2 months.
Yeah, a little over 2 months. Okay. And most of the issues involved were physical. Your doctors have described you as having hemolytic anemia. Is that true?
That's correct.
And describe that to me, would you? What does that mean? What does that mean to you?
It's a disorder where your red blood cells are dying prematurely. Therefore, your body doesn't have the oxygen-carrying capability that it would normally have. And mine is unique in that they cannot find a cause for this to be happening. My body is developing an antibody that is attaching itself to my red blood cell, and then the body in its desire to kill off this bad blood cell, which it perceives as being a bad blood cell even though it's positive, causes my spleen to kill the red blood cells, and so I have a continuous turnover of blood cells about every 2 or 3 weeks, whereas normally a blood cell would live 90 days.
Oh, I see. And the symptoms of that are?
Fatigue, a rash that causes me to itch all over.
Yeah, getting back to the fatigue, on a 10-point scale where 10 is being totally energetic and alive and vibrant and 0 is next to dead, what level of energy were you having when we first talked on April 28th?
It was very low. I would probably say it was down in the 2 or 3 range.
And what did that mean to you as your work a day? I mean, how many hours a day did you work? Tell me how that manifested itself as you performed during the day.
Well, it was very difficult to concentrate. I'd get extremely tired. I would no sooner get out of bed and get a shower, and then I'd feel like I wanted to lay back down and go back to sleep.
Uh-huh.
So it was very distracting, not only from a business standpoint, but from my personal life, because I never felt like going anywhere or doing anything.
Okay. Now, you also have some sores on your body. That's what you were talking about when you said the rash?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, we've been doing a number of techniques almost entirely by the phone, have we not?
Yes, we have.
Okay. And describe to me what has happened in regards to your energy, let's say.
Well, my energy level is much higher. On a range of 1 to 10, 10 being a lot of energy, it generally would vary anywhere from a 7 to a 10 on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
So some days I have an extraordinary amount of energy, just like I did before this problem developed. Other days I still have energy, although it's just not as high. But I never sink down to anywhere near the level I was when we first started working together.
So you... do you get... Does that mean you get more productive during your work day?
Oh, yeah. One of the problems I had before was I would not have memory lapses, but I would just lose my concentration, and I would almost get disoriented sometimes. I would forget, I'd start down the hall, and I'd forget what I was going down the hall for.
Yes. That doesn't happen now?
Happen now, no.
Okay.
Well, I also had that driving one night. I dropped off an associate and was heading back to my house. I knew exactly where, the freeway was and where I was supposed to turn to get onto it. And the next thing I know, I'm 3 miles from the freeway and didn't have a clue as to how I got there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
I didn't know about that.
That was very frustrating. It's kind of scary, too.
Yeah.
But that was how I was just extremely tired. And it was only 6 o'clock at night.
Yes. Okay, as part of this, as part of the hemolytic anemia and that whole process, you, if I recall it right, had some issues with your eyes, which were symptomatic of the fatigue. I think you called them heavy eyes and itching eyes and things like that. Can
yes.
you describe that, what they were before and then after, where they are now and so on?
Well, my eyes felt like it was the same feeling you would get if you had stayed up for a couple of days. The eyes were very heavy. It was all I could do to keep my, eyelids from closing. Another symptom of the eyes was that they would burn and sometimes feel like someone was sticking needles in them.
And how frequent would that be during a day?
Well, that was daily. It would be most of the day. It was just an ongoing problem.
So pretty much perpetual?
Yes.
Now, I recall you mentioning that to me, and as we were doing some tapping, which, as I recall, only took maybe 5 or 6 minutes, the itching went from something like, or the burning eyes, or whatever you were calling them at the time, went from like an 8 or a 9 on a 10-point scale down to a 0 at the moment, did they not?
That's correct.
And then they would come back in one form or another, and I think it was just 2 or 3 tappings over 2 or 3 different sessions that they went away?
Yeah, it's just completely disappeared now. I don't have the problem at all.
How long has it been?
Oh, it's probably been 6 weeks or 7 weeks out of the 8 or 9 that we've been working together. It, like you said, it only took 2 or 3 tapping sessions and
yeah,
just miraculously disappeared.
How many years had you had that that eye difficulty before we had began working?
Ever since the hemolytic anemia started, which it'll be pretty close to 4 years.
Well, 4 years now.
Yeah. I think it was, I was diagnosed with the hemolytic anemia in late 89.
Yeah.
And it's been, that's been one of the ongoing problems.
Yes. Because when we first started working together, you know, I was looking for emotional issues that might contribute to some of this, because, you know, the what the mind thinks about quite often shows up in the body somehow.
Yes.
And as we discussed it, you said you had had some built-in resentment or some anger regarding your father. Do you recall that?
Correct, yes.
Can you just briefly go over what intensity that was and why it was, et cetera, and what was how that impacted your life?
Well, the intensity was generally a 9 or a 10, and it evolved from the standpoint of my father leaving even prior to my birth. He and my mother separated and divorced prior to me being born, and not seeing him. I first met him when I was about 6 years old, and would see him maybe once a year until I was about 17, at which time I was forced to move into his house, and he all of a sudden imposed all of his rules on me, which I felt very uncomfortable with. I always resented the fact that he didn't give my mother any money as a support, that, you know, until she threatened to take him to court, you know, he wouldn't cough up any money to her.
How intense would that resentment get as you thought about it over time?
It would get very high. You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, it would go as high as a 10. I had a number of dreams or nightmares or whatever you want to call them, where he and I would physically start fighting. I can recall one dream where I tried to run over him with my car.
And those dreams happened at like a week or two apart, or a week apart?
I would say at least there would be one dream at least within every 2 week period.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I'd wake up in a cold sweat and just feel like I didn't want to go back to sleep again.
Yeah. Now, as I recall, we worked with that, and that was fairly early on. That was like the second day we talked, which was April 29th, according to my records.
Yeah, if I recall, it was like, almost like a Friday night or something.
Yeah, and you got your intensity up by thinking about it to, I don't know, 8 or 9 or something like that. We got it down to 0. Do you remember that?
Yes.
So you couldn't even if you tried, couldn't build the anger.
Yeah, that was really kind of shocking to me, because you know, we got it down to 0, and then after that, you kept trying to get me to get it to go higher, and it just wouldn't go higher. I could visualize all of the blowouts that he and I had, and you know, I would think about, you know, my mother and the things that she had to do without because she didn't have the money, and I just couldn't get that intensity level to rise.
Well, let me ask you this: this is now, what is it? July what? July 5th?
July 5th.
You are now discussing it. Are you having any emotional testing about it now?
No, absolutely none. It's like a non-issue at this point.
And yet we haven't dealt with that now since April 29th, actually, have we?
No, we haven't.
Have you had any bad dreams?
No, none at all.
They all went away?
One.
Yeah. Interesting process, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, a few other things, just so we round this out. We're recently dealing with your back. You've had in fact, you said you could not remember ever having a day when your back didn't bother you significantly.
Yes, from high school, I ruptured a disc in high school, which was in 1967, and it progressively got worse until ultimately about 8 or 9 years ago, I had lower back surgery. And during those, you know, 26 years, every day has been a struggle. When I get out of bed in the morning, my back is very stiff. And
on a 10-point scale, it's a 10 typically. It's,
yes.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Obviously a 10. A lot of muscle spasms. Even with, you know, on top of the stiffness, I would from time to time go to do something and like pick up a cup of coffee or something, bend over to pick it up and get a muscle spasm. So it's been an ongoing problem for years.
Well, we're just now starting with that one, but it seems to me a few days ago we started doing some tapping, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the next morning you said when you got up, your back stiffness, instead of being a 10 as it usually is, was a 5?
Yes, it was substantially better that morning.
And then the next morning it was like a 2 or a 3 or something.
Yes.
And you've since had just gone in and out, you know, different times, but we're just starting. But you're sensing some alleviation.
Yeah, it seems like there's some improvement, or there's obvious improvement at this point, and hopefully we can do away with that issue just like we did the sinus problems.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? You know, I tell you what amazes me is that all of these processes are really originally designed. For psychological issues, and yet the vast majority of what you and I are dealing with are physical issues.
That's correct.
Rachel was referred to Adrian by a local doctor. She had many severe emotional issues, and most of them centered around abuse she had experienced at the hands of her ex-boyfriend. On this tape, Adrian handles the most severe one, attempted murder, in a rather routine fashion. Then an interesting thing happens. Rachel was a constant sufferer of restricted breathing, but during this session, her breathing clears up. This happens frequently. Many breathing difficulties, including asthma, are emotionally caused, and once EFT neutralizes the offending emotions, the breathing problem subsides. Listen.
Tell me something specific about it.
Well, he was going to stab me, and he had a note stuck to the knife before he was going to hit me, and I was sleeping.
He was going to stab you?
Yeah, I was sleeping. This happened November 23 last year.
Uh-huh.
And I was already sleeping because we had a big fight.
Uh-huh.
So I was already sleeping, and then suddenly I woke up like 2:30 in the morning, and there was a knife. He was going to stab me with a knife with a note stuck to the knife.
A note stuck to the knife?
Yeah. He wrote a note stuck to the knife that it's all my fault. I'm not good enough.
Oh. Okay. Okay. All right. All right. On a scale of 0 to 10, 0 meaning you don't have any emotional impact, 10 meaning it's the worst it can be, how high is your anxiety about that incident?
10.
Okay. I want you to think about that incident, and I want you to say, I want to get over this anxiety. Say it out loud.
I want to get over this anxiety.
Rub the sore spot in your chest, that lymphatic congestion, rub it in a circle, and say, even though I have this anxiety, I deeply accept myself. Say that out loud.
Even though I have this anxiety.
Your index finger and your collarbone. Think about the incident again where he had the knife. If you were a 10, what number are you now?
Maybe a 7.
Okay, see, I want to get completely over this anxiety. Your thumb, your chin, and under your arm. Okay, I want you to think about the incident again, about the knife. And if you were a 7, what number are you now?
I think a 3.
I want to get completely over the rest of this anxiety. The side of your eye and under your arm. Okay, think about him coming at you. You woke up and the knife is there. If it was a 3, what is it now?
Nothing.
It's a 0?
Yeah.
And you're even laughing. Isn't that nice?
No, well, I suddenly could breathe.
You could breathe?
Yeah, suddenly.
Isn't that interesting?
I had a slim and tight chest, so no, suddenly I could breathe.
So that cleared for you?
Yeah.
Boy, that's fabulous. Good. Do you still have asthma?
No, not right now.
Okay.
Jeff asked to see me after one of my workshops. He was an 8-year sufferer of depression, was in a deep trough in his current round of depression, was taking Prozac for it, and wanted to know if EFT would offer relief. Indeed, EFT addresses depression as easily as it does phobias. We spent two different brief sessions on it, and the depression lifted. By contrast, Jeff had been to see five psychiatrists in the past 8 years and felt no relief from this effort. Listen in as Jeff tells the story.
I'll tell you what I'd like to do is just kind of go through chronologically what happened as you and I met.
Uh-huh.
And what you were going through and so on.
Yeah.
And I'll just kind of step us through it, and you can just, fill in whatever, okay?
Okay, sure.
All right, now we met, probably... What, 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, first time?
I think it was 5 or 6 weeks ago, yeah.
Okay. And at the time, I was giving a sort of a pre-presentation to a group that you were involved with.
Right.
To get people to come to a three-hour workshop.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And after that meeting, you came up to see me and talked to me, did you not?
Right.
And what was the subject matter?
I told you that I was experiencing some depression and wondered if it would work on me.
Okay, as I recall, it wasn't just depression. I mean, you were taking Prozac for it, were you not?
I was, yeah.
I mean, that's a depression in spades, usually.
Right.
Okay. How long had you had depression prior to that point?
Well, it's the kind of thing that's been on and off for a number of years.
Going back, how many years would you think?
Oh, probably at least 8 years.
At least 8 years. So it comes on and off over time. Have you taken Prozac or other medication during the 8 years?
No, just for the past about 7 months.
Over the past 7 months?
Yeah.
Okay.
Before then, it went mostly untreated with a few brief therapy sessions with psychiatrists.
Okay, what kind of symptoms? Well, first of all, with the psychiatric sessions, did you get much relief?
No.
Okay, and how many psychiatrists did you see?
I think I saw, over that 8 year period, probably five different people.
Okay, and you really got no relief from that?
Not really, it didn't do anything for me.
Okay. And then 7 months ago, I guess you were prescribed Prozac?
Uh-huh. I sought out a therapist whom I had been referred to by a friend, and who was strong at treating mood disorders. And I thought I had suffered long enough, and I wanted to kind of take the matter into my own hands and see if I could do something about it.
Okay, it wasn't, if I get it right, Jeff, it wasn't necessarily because the depression was any worse. It's just that it had been gone on so long, you wanted to do something about it.
Right, and I was kind of at the stage where I had the time and security to do that, and was willing to kind of experiment with different ways of dealing with it and to see if they brought any kind of relief.
Okay. Before you and I met, what kind of symptoms were you having from depression? I mean, did you have some physical symptoms?
Not really. I think the thing is, the Prozac did help for a while. At least, I think it did. Either it was Prozac helping or it was my lifestyle. I went through a lot of changes. I moved from the East Coast to the West Coast, and it's hard to put my finger on exactly what was affecting my mood and what kind of role the Prozac was playing.
Mm-hmm.
So when I met you, I was in a life transition still, I guess, and I was job hunting. I was very frustrated and discouraged. I have a strong educational background and thought that would take me far, and I was feeling very discouraged that I couldn't find a job.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably the
the biggest contributor to my depression at the time that I met you.
Well, let me draw a distinction if I can, and I value your comment on this. There are lots of people in this world who have depression, I mean big time depression, who are from all outward appearances very, very successful.
Uh-huh.
They run big companies, they're millionaires, they have the family, the big house, they smile, et cetera, et cetera, but their depression is so bad they basically don't even want to live.
Right.
And so sometimes when someone has depression and they have another circumstance, like looking for a job or they had a relationship go sour on them or something like that, that kind of adds to it, but that's not really the cause of depression. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does make sense that there aren't necessarily factors that cause it, but I believe they do play a role in...
Sure.
Because they are psychosocial stressors.
Right.
And depression is exacerbated by psychosocial stressors.
And for the 8 years that you had depression, there were times when you had depression, I'm guessing this, you tell me if it's right or not.
Uh-huh.
When you were fully employed and not having a job was not an issue.
Right.
And you still had depression.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Of the 8 years prior to the time you and I met, when it came and went, were you depressed half the time, a third of the time, 70% of the time? What would you say?
I'd say it went in waves, and I'd say it was between a third and half the time.
Okay. And when you and I met this first time, you were in a wave?
Yes.
Okay. Were you at the peak of a wave, beginning of a wave? What would you say?
I'd say that I was in a deep trough of a wave.
Yeah, okay. Well, you were taking Prozac, so that's indicative of something.
Yeah.
Okay, so we met, and you saw me or heard me talk, and then you came to see me afterwards, and then I think, we spent 3 or 4 minutes together?
Uh-huh.
And we did some tapping on the energy system?
Uh-huh.
And what happened with the degree of your depression as a result of that?
At least at that time, it significantly diminished, but it did not completely go away.
Okay. What number on a scale of 0 to 10 do you think your depression was at the moment you and I first talked after that meeting, before we tapped?
I'd say maybe an 8 or 9.
Yeah, I think I even asked you that. I think you said that, if I recall it right. And then after we tapped, what number would it have been?
I think it was maybe a 3 or 4 or something like that.
A 3 or 4. From that point forward, it was about another week or two before I actually gave the 3-hour workshop that you attended.
Uh-huh.
How did the depression go from the first time we met to that workshop you attended? Was it still a state of 3 to 4? Did it get higher, lower, what?
I'd say it kind of went in waves, getting a little bit worse, but then going back down to the 3 or 4, and maybe even getting a little bit better than that, down to, you know, a 1 or a 2.
Okay, did you get back up to an 8 or 9 very often?
No, it did not.
Okay, what was the highest number you think you got to after we did that original tapping?
Maybe a 6.
Maybe a 6.
No, okay. Higher than that.
And was that, like, brief, or did it last a while at a 6?
It was probably brief. Yeah.
Okay. Then the workshop came, and you spent some time at a 3-hour workshop, and we did some tapping during that, I believe.
Right.
And then did we talk again? We talked afterwards, did we not?
Just real briefly, yeah.
Okay.
And we agreed to talk at a later time.
Yes.
I couldn't stay after that seminar.
Okay, but we never did that until just now.
Right.
So we haven't done any tapping since the seminar.
Right.
Okay. And after the seminar, on a scale of 0 to 10, what was your degree of depression?
I'd say it was maybe about a 1 or a 2.
A 1 or a 2. What is it at the moment?
0.
0.
Yeah.
And when's the last... You're off of Prozac now, are you not?
I am, and I was off of it beginning right before that seminar, too.
Oh, okay, so we did the original tapping, then, I forgot, a week or 10 days went by.
Yeah.
But in that interim, you no longer need a Prozac.
Right.
Okay. But remember in that seminar, there was, I forgot the lady's name, but she came up and she was the one that had this traumatic memory about sliding on the ice into trees with her car.
I remember that.
And we got her to a point where her emotional response was zero to that.
Uh-huh.
And it was almost always a 9 or 10.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I think she had real stomach knots and stuff like that about it.
Uh-huh.
Now that's not depression from your eyes. But in my experience, she will never have that traumatic experience again. I mean, she will never have the emotional experience about that memory again.
Yeah.
Okay? And while that doesn't seem like depression to you, I will tell you, just for your own experience, that your depression is in the same category as her traumatic memory.
Really?
In that both of them are caused by the same thing, and that is a disruption in your body's energy system. And when we straighten that out, which we did by tapping on your energy system while you had the thought tuned into about your depression, and straightened it out, usually you do that once, and whatever it is that's bugging you emotionally goes away.
Yeah.
Karen's insomnia left her fatigued and with a feeling of never being rested. In this session, Adrian applies EFT to Karen for her insomnia, and then speaks with her the next day to see how it went.
Now, when you think about not being able to sleep, and you said over these past couple of months, it's really become in the way. When you think about not being able to sleep, does it do anything to you physically right now? Does it put a fear in you that when you go to bed, shoot, you can't sleep? What's it like?
It feels like a worry.
A worry, okay. Now, when are you not able to fall asleep?
It takes me longer to fall asleep than it used to, and I wake up often through the night, and I just don't feel rested.
Okay. And how many hours sleep do you get a night for you to feel rested?
Well, 7 or 8 has always been about average, but even if I actually sleep that long, I often don't feel like I slept at all. And it's what happens is, it's hard to describe. I've been very fatigued, and part of the reason is that I had dysentery last year, and my immune system has been just depleted. And what will happen is I'll get overly tired during the day, and if I don't go to sleep, when I first feel like going to sleep, which might be 2 o'clock in the afternoon when I'm at work,
yes,
then I will feel overly tired, and I will feel so tired that I can't sleep. And so, because my adrenaline will kick in,
yeah,
I'll just feel buzzed or just really wired just to get home. And then I can't sleep, and I'll lie there, and I can actually feel my body revving up. And if that happens, even if I do get to sleep, I rev all through my sleep, and I never actually relax.
Well, see, I want to get over this insomnia. Count.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Hum. Good. Now tap under your eye. Your thumb. Under your nose. And your arm. Let me get this thing hooked up. Okay, now tell me again. You just called and you said, tell me about last night. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about how you slept last night.
I had the time going to sleep. I didn't have any trouble going to sleep.
Good.
And I found that I still woke during the night, but I'm beginning to think that that is just my new sleep pattern.
A habit?
Yeah, I didn't used to, but I think that's just... I mean, I felt fine in the morning. I felt rested, and I felt much more rested today.
Oh, good. Good. Now, when you went to sleep, you had an easier time falling asleep.
Yes.
And then when you woke up, were you able to go right back to sleep?
Not immediately.
Okay, did you do the tapping?
No, I wasn't really quite awake enough to do that. You know what I mean? It was
right.
A resting thing.
Right. But then you woke up feeling rested, you said.
Yeah, I didn't. When I woke up, I didn't feel anxious.
Good. Now, has that been, is that new for you then?
Yes, because I, you know, I used to think, oh no, here it comes again. I'm not going to be able to sleep. You know, after many nights of waking up, not going back to sleep, I would start to feel anxious if I woke up in the middle of the night.
Okay, good. Now, when you went to sleep, or before you went to bed last night, did you do the procedure?
Yes.
Okay. When you got up this morning, did you do it?
Yes.
So, and then you did it at lunch?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to do it tonight?
Right.
And what are you doing it for when you do it?
Well, I did it for sleep and last night.
Yes.
This morning, I did it for fatigue. And then during the day, I just did it several times if I felt, you know, an anxiety or any strong feeling come up.
Good.
I just did it for different things.
Did it help?
Yeah. I felt an increase of energy and, you know, the whatever feeling I had.
Good.
Better.
So when you did it for being anxious, the anxiety went?
Yeah. You know, actually, I didn't do it for anxiety so much as a couple of times just strong feelings of sadness, you know, came up.
Okay.
And that it relieved it.
Mike was referred to Adrian with an extreme case of the fear of public speaking. Whenever attention was focused on him, his hands and feet would become clammy, his heart would race, and he would become short of breath. He makes noticeable improvement, as you will see, and performs flawlessly at a subsequent meeting. He leaves a message for Adrian on her answering machine to that effect, and later discusses his success with her. In Mike's case, there are many aspects going on, and even though he has greatly improved, he will need to be persistent and repeat EFT over time to get rid of the problem entirely.
Tell me what you want to accomplish with my work with you.
Okay, there seems to be, of recent, an overwhelming anxiety when all the attention is given to me.
Okay.
When they say, Mike, would you please address that? Then there's a little bit of a lack of breath.
Mm-hmm.
And as though the heart races, the voice skips.
Okay.
An unusual fear.
Yes, and so it's when... Now, does this happen if you're in a room with two people? Or is it...
It hasn't really been too overwhelming with just one-on-one, but the first time it ever happened, it was just me and two people.
Okay.
It was a consultation job.
Okay. All right. I want you to stay focused on that one issue, on that one consultation job.
Okay.
Okay? Put yourself right in it, Michael, like it's happening now if you can.
Okay.
And on a scale of 0 to 10, how high is your anxiety?
My hands are starting to clammy. My feet are getting cold.
Okay, so would you call yourself a 10?
No, not a 10, but I'm getting there.
All right. I want you to say, I want to get over this anxiety.
Okay.
Say that out loud.
I want to get over this anxiety.
Okay. Up under your eye.
Okay.
Middle finger. I want to just take a reading. Put yourself back in that incident, the consultation. Does it feel any different?
My hands aren't the clammy that they were.
Okay, give me a number where you are now as best you can, from 0 to 10.
5.
Okay, and you started at what?
8.
Okay, Say, I want to get completely over this anxiety.
I want to get completely over this anxiety.
Under your eye and under your arm. All right, let's take another reading and tell me what you feel like now.
A lot more comfortable. Still, my feet are a little clammy, but...
Okay, can you give me a number?
Relaxed. A lot more relaxed.
Good. So if you were a 5, what do you think you are now?
I would say a 3.
All right. Say, I want to get over the rest of this anxiety.
I want to get over the rest of this anxiety.
Okay. Under your arm. How do you feel?
Much more relaxed.
Can you give me a number? Think of that one incident, the consultation incident.
Remembering how I felt at the incident and how I feel now are very different. But I do remember.
You remember it, yeah. Does it do anything to your... let's do this. What are your feet like?
They're wet.
They're still wet?
Yes.
Okay. I want to say, I think you're changing aspects on me. What do you feel like now?
I just feel a lot more relaxed. My feet aren't near as wet as they were. My hands feel real good.
I want you to put yourself back in that incident as if it's you're reliving it. Do you get any queasiness at all?
Like you say, I remember the queasiness, but if you're asking me, if I put myself in that position now, would I feel queasy? I'm not sure.
Okay. Put yourself back in the consultation incident. All right, so like you're reliving it. You're sitting there with whoever was in the room. And they're turning to you and saying, Michael, would you go over this for us? What does that do to you?
If I had, right at this moment, I think I could engage it like it didn't happen that way before, much more comfortably.
Good. Good.
I mean, I can tell by just the breath I'm taking.
Yes. What time is your meeting tomorrow?
It'll be at 3:00.
Adrian, this is Michael Perry. I got back late this evening, so it's about 6:20 my time, 3:20 your time. Everything went fine at the meeting today. I would say on your scale of 1 to 10, where last week I was a 10, I would say I had moments today where it was maybe a 4 or 5, but I kind of kicked off at a 3, and it went real well. I can tell a big difference. I just need to know from you if I kind of practice this thing religiously, if that will be what I need to do at this point. So I'll try to check with you tomorrow get caught up with you. Thanks very much, and I'll talk to you later.
I was sitting there. This was prior to me having to say anything again.
Yes.
And just as it was written, like a script,
mm-hmm.
The gentleman who finished first said, well, that's it for me, so I'll turn it over to Mike.
Okay.
And as though it were scripted, he did that. And I commenced and proceeded flawlessly.
Do these tapping techniques help a severe health problem such as lupus, MS, or cancer? It certainly helps with the emotional issues surrounding these diseases. And while I'm not a medical scientist, I can't help but notice the physical progress many patients make who do these tapping procedures.
In this next interview, Doris, who is a cancer patient, describes her experience with one of the tapping sessions. This brief interview was recorded about a year ago, and she has been a persistent tapper ever since and is now in remission. Okay, we're going to start over here, Doris, now that we're recording this. I came over to your house the other night, and we did some of the techniques, you know, the tapping, etc.
Right.
And you're dealing with cancer, correct?
Right.
Okay. And after we did it, you just told me that you felt like you were a different person. Would you describe what that means to you, or a different body? Is it what you said?
Well, what it meant primarily was the first thing I noticed was the pain, the stress, and the concern were gone. The anger was also gone that I had for the doctors.
Right.
And so therefore I felt like I was in a different body. It felt like a different body.
Was it a better body?
Yes, it was far better body. Yes.
Uh-huh.
It seemed fuller. It seemed just a more full body rather than the one that was so racked with the nervous feelings and the pain and the concern.
This concludes this section of the audio tapes. Please return to the main menu to choose more options.
Jerry is a very competent professional psychotherapist who called me just before a dentist's appointment with major fears of feeling trapped in the dentist chair and having the dentist hovering over her. This episode is a classic example of how some issues have different aspects that aren't present at the time you are tapping. We completely eliminate her two main fears, but when she gets to the dentist's, another aspect arises. Pay close attention to this session because it will help you be more thorough with your own issues.
Well, you have a fear of the dentist. How does that manifest? A fear of what?
Well, a fear of, first of all, just getting in the chair and being trapped. It's more the feeling of being trapped. I'm not frightened of the pain of the dentist, and I'm not frightened of the drilling or any of that. I'm just afraid of having to stay in one place like I'm trapped.
It's a form of claustrophobia?
Right.
Okay. Is that the single thing that bothers you, or is there something else as well?
No, and having somebody over me.
Somebody over you?
Yeah, like that person's head and face over me.
Okay.
It's like I can't breathe.
Okay. So it's being trapped in the chair and also having somebody over you.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, so you can't breathe. That's something like claustrophobia too, isn't it?
Right. You know, I know there's childhood issue of, you know, somebody trying to smother me, and also childhood issue of almost being aborted. So,
okay.
You know, it comes from a lot of different things, but I can't seem to, I mean, I know the whys.
All right.
But I can't seem to get myself to a point where I just realize that I'm okay, you know, I'm going to.
Okay, and when's your dentist appointment?
1:30.
And what time is it now?
About 1:10.
1:10. Okay. How long a drive to your dentist?
About 2 minutes.
Okay. So we have a little time.
Yes.
I want you to close your eyes for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to imagine yourself sitting in that chair. I want you to tell me how intense on a 10-point scale you get now as you imagine it.
Probably about a 9.
About a 9. Tap under your eye.
Mm-hmm.
Under your arm.
Mm-hmm.
On your collarbone. Now close your eyes and imagine yourself in that chair. Are you still a 9?
Probably about a 7.
On that collarbone point, the index finger, and the baby finger. And tell me now, close your eyes now and imagine yourself being in that chair and tell me if you're still a 7.
I'm a 5.
You're a 5.
What I'm wondering though is I did this morning for myself and I got myself to a 1.
Right.
And then it's like I got anxious all over again.
Okay, it sounds to me more like it's another aspect of something.
Yeah, okay.
So you probably have different aspects, different traumatic events, different pieces of it, and we're just going to keep going on it, okay?
Okay, all right.
See, I want to be completely over this feeling trapped.
I want to get completely over feeling this feeling of getting trapped.
How is it now?
Better.
Give me a number.
3.
A 3. Mm-hmm. All right, say it again for me.
I want to get completely over this feeling of being trapped.
All right, rub that sore spot. Okay, how's it now?
Better, a lot better.
All right, I want you to close your eyes, and this time I want you to make an overt effort to get yourself upset. I want you to take whatever scene you bring up about being in that chair and exaggerate the sights and sounds and the feelings and literally try to get yourself up to a high number and tell me where you get.
literally smothering. Three.
Two or three. I want to be completely over the smothering feeling of being trapped in a chair.
I want to get completely over the smothering feeling of being trapped in the chair.
Okay, under your eye.
But I just see myself saying, don't do that and get up and walk away.
Don't do that and get up and walk away.
I mean, when somebody's trying to smother me, I don't see myself being smothered. I just see myself saying something and leaving.
Okay, I also hear you laughing about it. Okay. Now let's go to the other issue for the moment. That's the dentist being over you. Close your eyes and imagine the dentist being over you and tell me on a scale of 0 to 10 what intensity you get to.
Two.
Okay. What was that? Before we started doing this, what do you think that might have been?
What the number was?
Yeah.
Probably about an 8 or 9.
Okay. See, I want to be completely over this feeling of, or what do you call it? The dentist being over me?
Uh-huh. I want to get completely over the feeling of the dentist being over me.
Okay, under your eye. Now close your eyes and try to get intense about it.
I'm pretty relaxed.
Okay. Now we're only going to know how this holds up in real time when you get there in real time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now what you can do, because I'm going to be here.
Okay, I'll call you back.
Well, you call me back when you get done, but if you get to the dentist and for some reason you get intense,
mm-hmm,
and you know, difficult to manage it and all that, you know, give me a call right there.
Okay.
Because I'll be there right at the moment. Because all that will really mean is that some other aspects are now coming up then that are not showing up in your thoughts now.
Okay.
Okay?
Terrific.
And then, regardless, call me back anyway because I want to know how you did.
For sure.
All right. Thanks, Jerry.
Jerry.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. So you went to the dentist?
Went to the dentist, and everything seemed to be okay. You know, I was sitting there, and I was talking to her and everything, and then she, you know, we talked about laying back and all that, and that was fine. Put stuff in my mouth, and that was fine. And then she said that that gal had to take an impression with that pink squishy stuff and put it in my mouth, and I just couldn't do it. I mean, she came, I said, yes, fine. She gave me earphones the whole bit. And then she came to put this, it was a very small one, so it wasn't even the real big one yet, because she thought we'd start out slow. And she did that, didn't even come near my mouth, and I couldn't do it.
Oh, okay. Now, is that a different aspect than you and I dealt with on the telephone?
Well, yeah, it's different than the smothering. It's different than the person over you. It's having stuff in your mouth and that pink, squishy stuff in your mouth.
Okay, now I want to make sure I understand this clearly. As far as sitting in the chair and having that claustrophobic feeling about being trapped in the chair, was that a problem for you any time during the dentist visit?
No. No, I think that didn't seem to be the problem.
Okay, and then as far as having the dentist hover over you, was that a problem at all?
No, it didn't seem to be. I mean, she didn't really do any of that, but it didn't seem like that was a problem for me.
Okay, what was the problem is a new aspect, if I'm hearing it right, and that is the act of putting the squishy stuff in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, see, that's really interesting because that was not in your thought process as we did the tapping before you went. The things we tapped for apparently were fine.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Would you like to tap for the squishy stuff?
Sure.
Okay, on a scale of 0 to 10, how intense did you get, you know, when that happened?
10.
How intense do you get when you think about it now?
10.
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know it's a 10? I mean, do you have something in your stomach, your heart beat fast?
I have pain in my heart, and it's just going fast, and I just feel like I'm going to cry when I think about it.
Oh, okay. Let's see. What are we going to call that? I'm going to get over this squishy stuff emotion, okay?
Okay.
Say that. I want to get over the squishy stuff emotion.
Okay.
Say that.
I want to get over the squishy stuff emotion.
Okay. Tap under your eye.
At this point, Jerry and I spend the next 10 minutes with several rounds of EFT. She gradually comes down from a 10 to an 8 to a 7 to a 5 to a 3 to a 1 to 0.
Are you still a 1?
Hmm. Hmm. I don't know.
Close your eyes. Close your eyes.
No, I'm a 0.
Okay. But close your eyes anyway. And I want you to, are you sitting down?
Mm-hmm.
Sit back in your chair and adopt the posture as close as you can of what you were like when you were in that chair as they started to put the squishy emotion stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to sit back and I want you to open your mouth and I want you to imagine as I say this
you know, she coming in and applying the squishy stuff and feel it come into your mouth and feel, try to feel the panic or the sense of anxiety you had at the moment and tell me how you're doing on that.
Hmm. I'm pretty good. I'm okay.
Is it a zero?
I'm in there. Yeah. It's a zero. I'm fine.
Okay. Now, chances are, Jerry, what's happening here is that we have now taken care of that issue just as we took care of the hovering over issue and the feeling trapped in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
And the next time that happens, you will not have that phobic reaction unless there is something still that is not in your current present thoughts that would be come up when the actual situation occurs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For now, it's a zero?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, I left there crying and actually was just crying when I started to talk to you, and I'm not at all. I mean, I'm fine.
Okay, well, how about, you said your heart was racing and you were almost, what were your physical symptoms?
And my heart was racing and I had a pain in my heart.
Yes.
And it's fine, it's gone, I'm calm, I'm relaxed, I'm fine.
All right. One more time, close your eyes, and I want you to try and get as intense as you can and see if there's any physical thing comes up, you know, like the pain in your heart or the heart beating or anything else. Okay.
Our culture has a way of handing us stress and anxiety, and some people carry it around almost constantly. Shad, with whom we shall visit next, used to carry around an ongoing level of anxiety that would often get to a 6 or 7 level daily. He uses these tapping techniques to keep it down to a minimal level. Here's how he described the experience.
You said your anxiety, you've been tapping, has been staying around zero.
Yeah, I mean, I really, I do it every morning. It's just, you know, it's like my exercise or whatever, and I've just incorporated it there. And I usually don't have to call it up. Maybe a couple of times in the last month, just particularly when I was in D.C. and I had a lot of, I was really moving. On foot and metro or whatever, and it had a lot of critical business for the foundation. But and also I was with my assistant, who's also a tapper, and it just really has been tremendous. I mean, the level of anxiety, I mean, you work so much better without all that static, and that's been the most profound thing for me. I focus more on that than dealing with a lot of the family sickness in my personal immediate family back home.
Yeah, but getting back to the anxiety for a minute, when we first started doing this a little while back, 2-3 months ago, your anxiety level on a 10-point scale was typically, what would it range?
At different times of the day, it would run 6 or 7.
Yeah, okay, and now you keep it close to zero?
I've always considered that you had to, you know, I'm a high energy person, so I've always figured that was normal, so I've I thought maybe you need to have that high anxiety to operate at the level that I do.
Yeah.
But it's not fun, you know. It's like drinking too much coffee and feeling wired, and but it's just been a way of life for so many years.
Right, but with the tapping, you're now keeping it down to a small number, like a 0 or a 1 or something like that.
I get down to 0. I even do sometimes tired, because I've been running, and for about 2 weeks I got very little rest. So I would incorporate that with the anxiety, and seem to pick me up. Seem to release a lot of whatever sabotages you when you think you're tired, and so you're even more tired.
Yes, interesting how that works.
Yeah.
Shad also used these techniques to improve his golf game. Mind you, we're not talking about a small 1 or 2 stroke difference here. We're talking about 10 strokes or more. But let's let Shad tell it.
I'd like to mention my experience with golf.
Yes.
You brought it up. I tried it. I had no problem tapping for anything that I'm having just being difficult with me. And right after meeting you, I started using it in improving my golf game, you know, sort of relaxing me, trying different specific statements, trying to get myself relaxed down to 0 and focused in my golf. The first time I did this, I went out and I shot an 83.
Oh, an 83?
Which was, it was 83 or 84. I just kept saying I want to break 90. I mean, I want to break 100. Not only did I break 100, I broke 90. And I was around 84.
Yes.
I have a card. It was 84, 83.
I remember it before you told me. You said it was an 84. That's what I recall. But anyway, go ahead.
It was then. And then I played the following week. I shot an 87.
Okay.
Without any practice. And then I just played, I played in Florida in July when I was traveling in Alabama. And I continued to stay in the high 80s, except for one course, which was high 80s for the courses I've been playing was low hundreds for this course. This was a pro course with lots of lakes or whatever, and it was very difficult. But I still played well. I was playing at the same level.
Yes.
And I need to do more work at it. I'm not playing enough golf, and it's like not tapping enough, but I know that it's had a profound effect on my golf, my scoring, and I know that I've just begun. It's just only begun because there are all aspects of the game that I think that you can specify in this technique and make a profound difference in your score.
You have a friend named Gray as well who did a similar thing.
Yeah, Gray DeFever.
Yeah, he knocked 10 or 12 strokes
off. A friend that I brought to our first workshop here.
Margie, with whom this next session is conducted, loves her chocolate and has a hard time passing it up. I think most of us have addictive cravings for one thing or another, and EFT provides an invaluable aid for helping us get beyond them. Properly used, it can reduce the immediate craving for anything to zero in moments. This includes cigarettes, alcohol, and even cocaine. But for now, we are dealing with Margie and her chocolate.
Do you really enjoy chocolate?
You know, I never used to until I married. He's a chocoholic. And, you know, if it's in the house, and then I found that I would eat it, and it's very addictive. The more you eat of it, the more you want it.
Do this for me, okay?
Yes.
I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to... Is there chocolate in the house right now?
Yes.
Go get a little piece, would you? And come on back.
Okay. Do I put it in my mouth?
Not yet. Just bring it back with you.
Okay, hang on. I had to go a long way. I don't keep it very convenient.
Okay, what kind of chocolate is it?
It's some chocolate chips. They're frozen. They were out in the freezer.
Oh, okay. So you have one in your hand now?
Yes.
Okay, I don't want you to taste it, but I want you to put it under your nose and look at it and smell it and get your desire for that, you know, elevated, if you will. And tell me on a scale of 0 to 10 what your desire for that is.
7.
You're about a 7.
Yeah.
Okay. Now put it down, but I want you to put it where you can see it.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then I want you to say this. I want to get over this craving for chocolate. Say that for me.
I want to get over this craving for chocolate.
Okay. Now I want you to tap on your collarbone. Now take a look at that chocolate and tell me if it's still a 7.
No.
What would you call it now?
I don't have any desire to eat that at all.
All right, put it up to your nose and smell it. See if you can't, you know, elevate that desire some.
Yeah.
Does that change it at all?
Yeah.
What is it? What's your number now?
I think it just goes up to maybe 3 or 4. Not a great desire.
Okay. Put it down. Take a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And tap the gamma spot on the back of your hand. Okay, what's your number now?
For the chocolate?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Smell it again.
Yes.
Did you come back up any?
Doesn't smell good right now.
Take a little tiny bite of it and see if that elevates your desire.
Doesn't taste very good.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah, it tastes very chemical-ish all of a sudden.
Yeah, is your desire for it a 0?
Yeah.
Say it's a 0?
It's a 0.
Okay, good. All right, the reason I went through that with you, Margie...
That's fascinating.
Because I wanted to tell you that among the things that this works for is addictive substances.
Mm-hmm.
Which includes harder things than chocolate, you know, like coffee and cigarettes and alcohol and cocaine and stuff like that.
Mm.
And what you can do with it is, if you're trying to get beyond some form of addiction,
mm-hmm.
is every time you have the craving for it, you can do some of this tapping, and you'll reduce, once you get good at it, you'll reduce the craving down to 0.
Uh-huh.
And that goes a long way towards getting you over one of these things if you want to do that.
In this next session, Adrian works with Mary, who has many emotional and physical challenges. We pick up the conversation after Adrian has rather routinely neutralized some issues regarding Mary's combative parents and her feelings of abandonment. At first, Adrian enters into some instructive discussions with Mary, and then helps her with a unique fear, which she refers to as a global planetary fear. Then she addresses some of Mary's physical pains, namely a very painful knee and back. Notice in the episode with the knee that Mary doesn't notice the pain subsiding until she gets up and walks on it. Rather, she shifts her definition of the pain to stiffness in her knee. Stiffness is a different aspect, of course, than pain, and needs to be addressed separately, although sometimes both go away simultaneously. Anyway, listen in as this session unfolds.
Can you tell the difference in you and the impact of what it has on you now over what it did when we started?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And it also feels as if there's some, well, just a physical level of something like, you know, like I can't fit all of me inside my skin, like about to erupt, like that kind of unease.
Right now you have that?
Oh, no, that this seems to have addressed.
Oh, good. So that has left.
Yeah, it seems to have been with me. I mean, I'm especially conscious of it going to sleep at night, and you know.
Good. You're going to be able to use this, Mary, if you have a problem going to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to use this to totally relax too.
Right.
So there'll be a lot of uses.
They are very sore.
What is?
All the tapping points.
Oh, they are. Those are the meridians.
And they seemed. I mean, when you were showing them to me, they didn't seem that sore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But as we were doing the work...
They seem sore?
Oh, yeah.
Now, you don't want to tap so hard that you hurt yourself.
Okay.
And I'll give you, before we get off the phone, an entire procedure to do. And so I'll be sure to do that. What else would you like to work on?
Well, I wasn't really altogether kidding when I talked about a planetary or global fear.
Okay.
Actually, which is also environmental.
Yes.
You know, all the way back from when I was a kid reading Barry Commoner.
Yes.
Who, you know, reading Hot Zone just now.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
that makes sense to me.
And all that stuff in between, plus I have worked on, you know, I'm immune impaired basically because I was a vaccinated child. Well, this doesn't make me, you know, unique, you know?
Right, right.
So in addition to, like, there are times of tremendous surging hope that, you know, collectively we will be able to somehow, because amazing things are happening, but there's also this, I mean, times of just being really engulfed in despair, dread.
Yes.
Heartache.
Yes. When you think about that, the planetary global fear, give me a number.
Well, my dear, it's 10.
Okay, say, I want to get over this fear.
I want to get over this fear.
Rub your sore your eye and under your arm. All right, think about the planetary global fear and give me a number.
Well, 2 comes up.
2?
Yeah.
Okay, say, I want to get completely over this fear.
I want to get completely over this fear.
Good, you're doing just fabulous. Under your eye. Tune into that fear again and give me a number.
I think it's 0 right now.
When you're saying you want to work on pain, tell me what happened. Do you have the pain right now?
Yes, it's not as severe as it was this morning, but I have a bad left knee. I mean, I limp like an old woman going up and down the stairs.
Is that something that just happened?
That's part of this weekend's reaction. It is not at all the first time I've had any of these particular symptoms.
Okay.
I've been run by pain for about 15 years.
All right, so you have a bad left leg.
But a bad left knee.
Knee, okay.
But it is true that there's this neuromuscular involvement independent of the joints that goes on as well. Up and down my spine, a very stiff neck, a very stiff low back, a bad right wrist, a very bad left shoulder.
All right, pick one that you want to work on.
The left knee.
Okay, on a scale of 0 to 10, how bad is the pain?
Like right now?
Yes.
5.
Okay, say, I want to get over this pain.
I want to get over this pain.
And I want you just to stay focused on your left knee.
Uh-huh.
All right, rub your sore spot and say, even though I have this pain in my knee...
Even though I have this pain in my knee...
I deeply and profoundly accept myself.
Deeply and profoundly accept...
If the pain was a 5, what's it feel like now?
A 5.
It's still a 5. Say, I want to get completely over this pain in my knee.
I want to get completely over this pain in my knee.
Rub your sore spot. Even though I still have some pain in my knee. Okay, if it was a 5, is it still a 5?
Well, I'm testing it by moving it, and it's just so damn stiff, and it just stays there. Sorry.
So it's not changed. Don't be sorry. I don't know that I can do anything with it, but I'll sure try. Tap under your eye. Tap the side of your eye. Tap under your arm. The 9 gamut procedure. Tap. If the pain was a 5, does it feel any different?
It's just so stiff.
Well, is stiff the same as pain?
Well, maybe not. And...
Because we talked about pain when we started.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, pain on moving.
Yes, try to move. And tell me if the pain is there.
Well, I mean, that is what I'm calling stiffness. It hurts so bad I don't want to move it. I'm calling that stiffness.
Okay, is it
the
same?
I'm sorry. I mean, it's... I can't... The real test is going downstairs.
What does it feel like right now when you... does it hurt to stand on it normally?
No, just walking.
Okay, can you get up and try and tell me if it feels any different?
Maybe it is different on walking. Best I can tell.
Okay, can you give me a number?
It's not hurting at all. I guess that's 0.
Wow, so that went to a 0.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I did limp in here to come to the phone, and so...
Are you limping now?
It doesn't... I think it's different, so...
Good. So, are you limping?
No, I'm not. I'm limping.
Good.
No.
Pick another pain.
You know, I'm almost scared to, but pain up and down my spine has, like, been with my life, although it nearly killed me about 15 years ago, and I never really feel free of it, but I must be, since there are some times when it's a whole lot worse. So
what's
that mean that there were some times in between when it was better.
Yes. What does it feel like now?
And there's, I mean, that's where this whole, all the peripheral joint stuff seems to emanate from the spinal stuff, although they also trade off, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. What has the doctor diagnosed it as?
Oh, your doctors are useless. MDs have been useless.
Okay.
This is all stuff I should basically become bedridden and spend my time going to see a shrink.
Let's work on your spine. What's the level of pain right now?
Well, the worst is right around the crucifix, you know, right at the shoulders.
Yes.
I mean, just generally, that's the most vulnerable spot. And
what does that feel like on a scale of 0 to 10 right now?
Shrug 'em. It's stiff, and my neck always feels vulnerable, and on a scale of 1 to 10, it's not too bad right this second.
Was it bad when we first started talking?
I think maybe the overall stuff was worse when we began.
Yeah, see, what a lot of this is almost like it's a piggyback.
Uh-huh.
You know, we start with one thing, and that could also help your whole body
uh-huh.
and to be less. But
uh-huh.
it's still there. Let's concentrate on the crucifix area, your shoulder area.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Give me a number just so we have something to measure it.
Well, it's... we could call it 5 there, too.
All right. See, I want to get over this pain in my shoulders.
Get over this pain in my shoulders.
Side of your eye and under your arm. Does it feel any different if it was a 5? Think about just your shoulder area now.
Feels considerably different.
Give me a number.
Oh, it's way, it's just, it's like it got lubricated or something.
Good.
I mean, maybe we can say something like 2.
Say, I want to get completely over this pain in my shoulders.
Get completely over this pain in my shoulder.
Good, good. Tap under your eye. Your chin and under your arm. Okay, think about the pain in your shoulders and give me a number.
Oh, they feel great.
To zero?
Yeah.
So now we've cleared. The knee feels pretty good. The spine feels pretty good. What about working your way down that back? What's that feel like?
Well, I have to stand up to even get in touch with it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd say it's way better than it was when we began.
Good.
And right now, it just feels like disuse, you know, is why I'm not flexible, rather than
pain,
inflamed. Yeah, right. I mean, right this second, that's more that feeling.
Good.
Our next interview is with Joanne, who called with a throat disorder and some allergic symptoms. She had taken some medication for them, and apparently they gave her some relief. Notice how quickly and efficiently the remaining symptoms disappear with EFT.
Okay, and you have at the moment some allergies and some laryngitis, but...
Yes, I have acute laryngitis complicated with some allergy.
Okay, we just want to deal with one thing at a time here, and what I want to do is just kind of zero in on the allergy. And you said something about your throat.
Yes, where I feel it most is in the throat, where it feels like it's real cobwebby.
Okay.
And dry, and then also I can feel it in my nose. My nose will run, or my eyes will get itchy and red.
Okay, is your nose running now?
No.
Are your eyes itchy and red now?
A little, yes.
Okay.
I did do, but my doctor had given me this spray stuff to put in my nose, and I did that this morning, which helped.
Uh-huh. Okay. But right now, as far as the throat is concerned, you can feel this cobwebby effect?
Yes.
On a scale of 0 to 10, how cobwebby is it?
5.
A 5.
Compared
okay.
to how it's been.
Well, let's just see if tapping helps that, okay?
Okay.
I want you to say this. Say, I want to get over this feeling in my throat.
I want to get over this feeling in my throat.
Okay, do this tapping for me, okay? Tap under your eye. And remember how to do the 9 gamut? And tell me, is it still a 5, the cobwebby stuff in your throat?
Let me talk a minute. That helps me feel. it's still from there. I'm not sure if it's a 5. I'm really bad about guesstimating.
Well, that's okay.
Okay.
That's okay. You're not sure if it's come down or not?
Right.
Okay. Say, I want to get over this cobwebby throat.
I want to get over this cobwebby throat.
Oh, okay, now remember where that sore spot is in the upper left chest?
Yes.
Okay, rub that and say this, whether or not you believe it, okay? I accept myself, even though I have this cobwebby throat, 3 times.
I accept myself, even though I have this cobwebby throat. I accept myself, even though I have this cobwebby throat. I accept myself, even though I have this cobwebby throat.
Okay, now say, I want to be over this cobwebby throat.
I want to be over this cobwebby throat.
Okay.
I want to be over this cobwebby throat.
No, that's all right. Now tap under your arm. Now check it out. Is there anything noticeable? Is there a noticeable change?
Yes, I do feel different.
If it was a 5, what might you say it is now?
I would say even my voice feels different to me. I would say a 1 or a 2.
A 1 or a 2. Say, I want to be completely over this cobwebby throat.
Okay, I want to be completely over this cobwebby throat.
Okay, now do this tapping here. Hold on. Is it still a 1 or a 2?
Can you say something? I think it's much better.
Do you have any left? Is there still a little bit left?
Like, I hear a little of the laryngitis, but not the cobwebby stuff.
Oh, the cobwebby throat is gone.
Yeah.
Is it a 0?
Yeah.
Okay, now tune into your eye. Your head, a little bit of irritation in the eyes earlier. Is it still there?
It was pretty bad this morning, but it's not too bad now because I put drops in them.
Okay, but what I'd like to know is, at the moment, even though you've put drops in?
Oh, yeah, it's not bad now. It's probably only a 2 or 3.
Okay, well, say I want to be over this, what do you call it, itching eyes?
Okay.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, say I want to be over these itching eyes.
I want to be over these itching eyes.
Okay. Do you notice any difference in your eyes?
I don't feel them smarting at all.
So is it now a 0?
Right.
All right, tune back in on your throat again and tell me if that's still a 0.
On the cobwebby?
Yeah.
I don't feel cobwebs at all.
Oh, okay.
Great.
Bonnie had a severe problem with swallowing food. At least that was her most obvious symptom.
Often, problems such as this are caused by some difficult underlying emotions, and such was the case with Bonnie. Notice how different emotions keep coming up, and how Adrian persistently addresses them as they emerge. This is a classic lesson in how some problems have several different aspects which must be addressed before complete relief is possible. Listen.
Now, tell me what your problem is.
I have trouble swallowing food, and a lot of times drink, it gets stuck in my throat.
And how long have you had this?
About 6 or 8 months now.
Okay. Now, do you have problems swallowing all food at all times?
It's pretty inconsistent, but most food, yeah, I would say most food I have a problem swallowing.
Do you have some food that we can test this on?
No, not with me.
Can you go into another room and get some food, or you're calling from your mom's?
Yeah, you want me to get some?
Yeah, go get would you have a problem swallowing a banana?
I don't know. I'll go get...
Well, go get something you know you'd have a problem swallowing.
Okay, hold on.
Okay. Swallowing that banana.
Yeah.
Okay, on a scale of 0 to 10, how hard would it be, 10 being the hardest, for you to swallow the banana?
Well, like I said, sometimes it's worse than others.
If you look at that banana right now, what do you think?
Seven.
All right, say, I want to get over this problem swallowing.
I want to get over this problem swallowing.
Rub the sore spot on your chest. If you, looking at that banana, if you on a scale was a seven, what does it feel like now?
It feels less, really.
Can you give me a number?
Five.
Okay, say, I want to get over the rest of this problem of swallowing.
I want to get over the rest of this problem with swallowing.
Rub your sore spot and see. The side of your thumb, your chin. Look at that banana again. And if it was a five, what does it feel like now?
Maybe a four.
Side of your eye, under your arm. If it was a four, what does it feel like now?
It feels better. I don't know. Two. I'm afraid to say that.
That's okay. Just go with what you think. Say, I want to get completely over this problem.
I want to get completely over this problem. I'm sweating and stuff for some reason.
That's interesting. Okay. Let's stay with that. Stay with that feeling. Say, I want to get completely over the rest of this problem.
Making me emotional.
That's all right. Let's stay with your emotional feeling. See, I want to get over this emotion. Can you say that for me?
I want to get over this emotion.
All right. Rub your sore spot. Your eye, your index finger, and your arm. What does the emotion feel like now?
I'm still a little anxious. It's better. It feels a little better.
Yeah, I think other aspects are coming up, so I want you to keep staying with that feeling. It's not like we're not getting anywhere. I think different issues are coming up. Perhaps you're feeling you may never get over it. Perhaps you're remembering how hard it is for you to swallow. Perhaps you're beating yourself up because you think you should be able to get over this. Does all of that kind of fit?
Yeah, well, I feel stupid that it's happening because I can't swallow because of stress. I know.
Right. See, that's a different aspect over not being able to swallow, and that's what's coming up here. Your little mind's doing tricks with you. You know, it's going on to different... It's like peeling an onion.
Yeah.
And you're peeling one layer after another, then another one's popping up.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. So let's keep working on it, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. See, I want to get over this feeling.
I want to get over this feeling.
Rub your sore spot and say, even though I have this feeling, I deeply accept myself.
Even though I have this feeling, I deeply accept
myself. Again. How do you feel?
I feel like I'm breathing really good, like I'm opening up down there or something.
Good.
So, because breathing's a problem for me too, but I feel like I'm breathing really good right now.
It's relaxing you, that's why. Your energy's flowing the right way. Now that it's all going right and we were able to fit the tapping in, to tap the meridians, it's all clearing up for you.
Yeah, I'm breathing really good.
Isn't that nice? Good. Good. How do you feel about being able to swallow that banana?
I feel better. I I don't mean to be skeptical, but I guess it's been going on for so long, but I feel a lot more confident about than I have in a long time.
Okay, why don't you take a little bite of the banana and let's just see if you're swallowing it easier than you normally would. Are you ready to do that yet?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead and do it. Just take a small bite.
It feels good.
You were able to swallow it okay?
Yeah.
Fabulous. Fabulous. Good.
Wow.
Good. Is that the first time you've been able to do that in a long time?
Yeah. Well, like I said, it comes in different degrees, but it always feels like it's the way I describe it is if you ever see a snake get fed a mouse.
Yes.
You know? And it felt like it went down really easy.
Yes.
A lot of times, too, though, if it does get down, it doesn't feel like it goes all the way down, and it's just kind of sitting there, but it feels good right now.
Does it?
Yeah.
See, it's probably because you're really relaxed that the anxiety has been taken away from it. That doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me.
Oh.
Let me ask you this. Your association with seeing a snake eat a mouse...
Yeah.
Is that a bothersome thought to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is to me, too. Let's work on that.
Okay.
All right. See, there could be an association with that.
Like what?
Well, it could be you're seeing the mouse if you watch that go down a little bit at a time. That's pretty sickening, I think.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
I did that once, and it was so weird, and that's how it feels.
And that's what's stuck in your mind. Let's work on that vision.
Okay.
Okay? If on a scale of 0 to 10, when you think about a snake eating a mouse and seeing that slowness of it, how high is your anxiety?
10.
Okay, so I want to get over this anxiety.
I want to get over this anxiety.
Okay, rub your sore toes and under your arm. Okay, when you think about that snake and it was a 10, see that vision again and tell me what number it is.
8.
Good. See, I want to get completely over this vision. Your chin and under your arm. Think about the vision of the snake and give me a number. If it was an 8, what does it feel like?
It feels better. 6.
Good. Say, I want to get over the rest of this vision, the problem with this vision. Side of your eye, under your arm. If the vision bothered you to a degree of a 6, what does it feel like now?
I don't really feel too much about it right now.
Good. Take another bite of your banana.
Okay. Oh, it feels really good.
It does?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad.
God.
I'm so, huh?
That's a trip.
This concludes this section of the audio tapes. Please return to the main menu to choose more options.
Next, we visit with Buzz, who, like his brothers from the Vietnam era, deserves a salute from all of us. Our combat soldiers fought that unpopular war and often experienced more atrocities in one day than most of us experience in a lifetime. Many were left with post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD as it is nicknamed. This is an emotional disorder that consists of haunting memories that vividly revisit these valiant men. These memories bring up horror, anger, fear, guilt, and grief so intensely that often they won't even discuss them because of the emotional pain. Many times they are afraid to even go to sleep at night because of the nightmares they expect. Conventional approaches have done little or nothing to relieve this dreadful affliction. Fortunately, EFT provides great relief for our soldiers. I have applied it more times than I can count and have a near perfect record with it. In almost every case, the emotional impact vanishes. Buzz's case is an example. I met Buzz in Los Angeles a few days before this phone session. At that time, he said he had thousands of haunting memories, which visited him frequently. The worst one of all was a helicopter crash, but that is all he would tell me. There was simply too much pain to speak about it further. For the phone session, we labeled it the horror emotion. Listen in now as we pick it up near the end of the procedure.
Be sure to notice how calmly he discusses this worst memory of his and how he describes it as though he is going on a shopping trip.
It's down considerably, just barely there.
Would you call it a one?
Yeah, I would think a one would be realistic.
Okay, tap on that gamut spot. Okay, stop tapping.
Okay.
And tune into it now and tell me if there's anything left.
Just vaguely aware of it, and that's it, Gary. This just amazes me.
Okay. Would you call it a zero?
If it's not, I mean, I don't know what... Is a zero mean I can't even recall it, or is zero mean it doesn't bother me?
Zero means that you have no real emotion that bothers you. You can recall it, but you don't have no emotion about it.
Then I would guess I'm at a zero.
Okay. I want to test it now, okay? And if you get uncomfortable, you let me know immediately, all right?
Okay.
I would like to have you tell me verbally the 10 seconds before and the 10 seconds after that caused so much distress. Tell it to me verbally, and if you start to get upset about it, you let me know, okay?
Okay. Okay, the 10 seconds before it is we are in a helicopter, we are taking fire, I'm returning fire, and at that point I realize that we are hit and that I am hit and we're going down. The 10 seconds after is I'm looking around and
let me stop you 1 second. Do you have any emotions as you talk about it?
No, I mean, I'm recalling it like I would recall going shopping, you know?
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
The 10 seconds afterwards are looking around and realizing that only two people plus myself are alive, and that we are still taking fire. And I'm frantic trying to figure out just how the hell we're going to get out of this.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that still like a shopping trip?
Maybe a shopping trip in a crowded store, okay?
Well, you could probably get through that one, but...
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I'm a little annoyed about it, but that's it, you know?
All right, but I'd like to step on the annoyance, too, okay?
Okay.
So would you call yourself a two or a one or something?
The annoyance level?
Yeah.
Make myself aware that it's there. I mean, it's really not a bother.
It's not. Is it worth tapping on?
Sure. Hell, this is working fine so far. So.
Okay. Stop and say, I want to be completely over this horror emotion.
I want to be completely over this horror emotion.
Okay, do this tapping. Okay, under your arm.
Okay.
That's all I get. Go back and revisit that part of it where you got annoyed in the crowded shopping center, however you want to say that. And tell me if it's still there.
A bit. Very, very, I mean, almost unnoticeable.
Yeah, but let's step on it anyway.
Okay.
I want to be completely over this horror emotion.
I want to be completely over this horror emotion.
Okay. Under your eye.
Okay.
Under your arm.
Okay.
Index finger.
Okay.
Let's do the 9 gamut this time, okay? Tap on the gamut spot in the back of your hand.
Okay.
And close your eyes while you tap. Open your eyes. And now revisit it and tell me if there's anything left.
Just the memory.
Just the memory, okay. While I have you, Buzz, would you like to deal with some other memory while we're doing this?
Gary, I probably got 20,000 of them. I was just sitting here this morning working on some of them, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. With what degree of success?
Actually, this is working for me. Damned if I can understand why and damned if I can understand how, but it's working.
We are now going to address another of Buzz's haunting memories. Please note how calmly he discusses it without even using EFT on it. This is because the tapping technique is a good example.
All right. Let's take one of the other memories that's been difficult for you. You have a 10 in your arsenal someplace?
Oh, yeah, we have lots of them.
Okay. Well, pick out the next 10, would you?
Okay.
What is it?
This is 30 seconds after the last one.
30 seconds after, and what is going on?
At this point, we are in a firefight. on the ground. The helicopter is burning. The other two guys that are still alive are screaming.
How do you feel as you talk about it?
I'm sorry?
How do you feel as you talk about it?
How can I describe this to you? The emotion of the thing happening doesn't bother me anywhere near as much as the anger and the disgust. I think I told you that the other day.
Yes.
Just start me raging. I mean, just absolutely start me raging.
The anger and the disgust at what?
The anger at our government and our leaders, and the disgust at what they had us doing.
The emotion you were telling me about, what you're telling me was you weren't having that much emotion about the incident. It was really the anger about it. Is that what you're telling me?
That's still what bothers me about a lot of it in general is the anger about having been put in the position in the first place.
Okay. What I want to ask you, though, is before having done all this tapping, before the other day when we first met, if you had recounted this incident, would you have been able to say, I don't have much emotion about the incident itself?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Okay. So even though we didn't work on that specific incident, the emotion about the incident itself is now less than it was. Is that a fair way to say it?
Tremendously.
Okay.
Tremendously.
All right. Sometimes we deal with these PTSD issues, and we'll take care of one or two or three of the leading issues, and it generalizes over all of them. Isn't that fascinating?
It is. It's absolutely amazing.
Millions of people have problems with their vision and would love to either see better or eliminate the necessity for glasses or contact lenses. EFT often helps people improve their eyesight, as is clear by this session that Adrian conducts with Donna.
You're trying to read something right now and is a little bit fuzzy?
Yes.
Okay. On a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being it's impossible to read, can you give it some kind of rating?
It would be a 4.
Okay. Let me give you some points to tap. Under your nose, your collarbone. Okay. Try to read it now and see if it's any better.
You know, it might be a bit better.
All right. Is it still fuzzy?
I think, though, it's not as bad. I do think it's a bit better.
Okay. Say, I want to get completely over this vision problem.
I want to get completely over this vision.
Okay. Tap the side of your hand again and stay even. Collarbone. Okay. What's it like now?
I think it's better.
It is?
I think it is.
A little bit clearer?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is clearer.
It is, huh? Can you read what you were trying to read?
I was always able to read it, but it is not as blurry as it was before.
Okay.
One of the delightful advantages inherent in EFT is that once you master these techniques, you can use them to help other people. That amounts to an indelible lifetime skill, which you can use any time to enhance the lives of your family and friends. Adrian and I have taught EFT to hundreds of people, and many choose to use it for others. Keeve is one of several such persons. Please note that like most people who take this course in EFT, he has no degrees in psychology or in any related field. Rather, he's a financial counselor with a deep desire to help others. He learned these techniques from us and then proceeded to help 150 other people without any assistance. In this next interview, he tells us about some of his successes.
I had the opportunity to work with you on three separate occasions.
Okay, and you have had experience with them, I guess, administering them for other people?
That's correct.
Why don't you give us an idea what that is? First of all, it's okay with you if we record this and let other people hear it?
Absolutely. I'd be thrilled.
All right, go ahead.
I had the opportunity, probably since I had worked with you in the last year and a half, to probably work with close to 150 people. Both in clients of mine, in class reunions, and also on a cruise, and just Elaine is kind of embarrassed to go anywhere with me. Anybody says they have a pain or an ache, I say, wait a minute, let's take care of it. But in any case, the number that really stick out in my mind, I was on a cruise about 3 weeks ago, and a gal said, do you think it would work with vertigo? And I said, I'm not sure, but let's try it. So I said, what I'd like you to do is go over to the porthole, look out and get as close as you can to looking out, and then we'll go from there. Well, she probably, Gary, was maybe 3 feet away from the porthole and would not go any closer to the porthole. This is inside the ship.
When you say vertigo, are you defining that as a height phobia?
Height phobia.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Height phobia, correct. She got lightheaded and couldn't get anywhere close to edges of buildings or elevators or such.
Right.
We went through the technique using the sandwich. Then I said, go look out the porthole. So she went over right to the porthole, looked out, and she said, this is fantastic, Keith. She said, I can't believe it.
Yes.
Then she was gone for a couple of minutes. She came back and said, do you want to know where I've been? I said, well, if you want to tell me, that's fine. She said, I always want you to know. She said, I went over to the railing of the ship, and this is while the ship is going at full speed that a cruise ship will go. She said she looked over the side. She stepped back about 4 or 5 feet, went and looked over the side again, up to the railing, and she said she couldn't believe what she was doing. She stepped back and she stepped over to the side railing again bending over looking at the ocean behind.
Yes.
And she said, this is fantastic. And the next day we had to go to some ruins.
Well, and she couldn't even look at a porthole before.
She looked at a porthole. She would get 3 feet away from the porthole and that was it. She would not get any closer.
Okay, then you went to the ruins?
Then we went down to the ocean side, around the other side of the ruins, and it was a drop-off cliff of probably 150 feet or so.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I went over and said, gee, this is beautiful, seeing the beach down there and seeing the vegetation and so forth. And I said, Jeannie, I said, come on over here and take a look. So she walked over, probably about a foot away from the edge of the cliff. It, again, goes down about 150 feet or more. And she said, this is beautiful, she said. And we go on, and I said, do you have any idea where you're standing? And she says, yes. And I said, do you feel nervous at all? She says, not at all.
Yeah.
And she said, no, I don't want to get any closer. And I said, Jeannie, me neither. This is a case where I was about as close as I was going to get, which is about a foot away from just enough to look over the side.
Yeah, the interesting thing about these processes is they will take away the abnormal fear, but they don't make you stupid, you know?
Well, that's right. That's what she said. She said that and her husband is just in awe by all this that's going on. He just can't believe it. I've been married to her for 7 years now, and he said she has never gone anywhere near anything like this at all.
Yes.
Period.
That must make you feel good having done that.
Gary, you have got no idea. And that's why I said, I've been saying I've got to call you and just let you know.
Sure.
There was another gal who had, is going to have to go in for hip replacement at some point in time, but she said she had tremendous pain in her hip.
Yeah.
So we worked on the hip pain, and she said it's completely gone. Well, she went down to her room.
Yes.
Later that night, she comes up. We were in the casino all sitting around, and she comes back up, and she said, I'm kind of embarrassed to tell you this. So I said, uh-oh, this is going to be my first failure. I'm really embarrassed, and Elaine was with me, and she said, well, what is it? She said, well, she said, I couldn't believe it. She said, the pain in my hip that I've had for years had dissipated. She said, but I had a corn on my foot that I didn't want to mention to Keith. She said, but the corn pain disappeared.
You know, that's fascinating because oftentimes we will find we balance the energy system for one thing, something else happens to show up and get relief.
Yes, and she said she went downstairs. The reason she had left, she went downstairs to put on the shoe that she had earlier that was hurting the corn.
Yes. We're not always that fortunate, by the way, but with striking frequency, we get people with over severe pains quickly, you know.
That's, you know, like I say, I can go on and probably go on with 148 more. I'm waiting for Lane to come. There was some gal, Gary, that this is the one that will absolutely blew my mind.
Yes.
Elaine has been going to a water aerobics class with a group of gals, and she kept on mentioning this gal had fibromyalgia. Elaine's going to tell me the name of it. But she literally couldn't walk. Her mother used to drive her around and put her in the pool because she couldn't walk. She was so crippled up with this arthritis.
Yes.
And through probably a year or so of therapy of going into the pool with her mother bringing down or her husband bringing her down, she could motivate a little bit. And I said, gee, Lance, why don't you have her call me? And of course, people don't call you. They don't believe this is going to work.
Yes.
Only one night, Elaine, the class was canceled. Elaine came up with this gal. And I probably worked with her maybe 15 minutes, starting out asking her what the rate of pain was, and she couldn't walk. The bottom of her feet hurt tremendously. Every bone in her body hurt. I worked with her probably 15 minutes or so, and the pain had subsided to zero. And here's a gal who, from 1987, had been in constant pain.
That's 7 years.
7 years.
Yeah.
Elaine works at a doctor's office a couple of days a week.
At a doctor's office?
Doctor's office, OBGYN.
Yeah.
And while I was there one day, one of the girls who works there's friend called, and she says, I've got this splitting headache. I work in a jewelry store, and I can't take any time off, but I'm ready to vomit because of this migraine headache, and there's nothing at all that I can do. So I said, you know, put her on the phone to me, and I said, let me talk to her. So I talked to her, and I said, you know, Colleen, I said, if you want to come over, I said, I'll try something. I said, it might work and it might not. So he says, anything. So she comes over, and her eyes are as red as beets. She got sunglasses on and a hat and so forth. And we went in one of the examining rooms. I did start out with the evaluation again. It was a full 10.
Yes.
And I worked with her maybe 5 minutes or so, and I could see the stress just leaving her body. Well, I got the down to a zero. Her eyes cleared up, sunglasses came off, a smile came on her face, and she went back to work.
Yes.
While Elaine and I were walking down the street, the guy that works with her was kind of walking down the street, you know, tapping his head and kind of making a joke. And he said, Keith, I don't know what you did to Colleen. He said, but she's back to work and fully functioning. He said, would you do me a favor? He said, would you stop by? He said, one of the other girls has a sinus headache. And we just stop and see her. So on the way back, I stopped with this gal with a sinus headache and took care of that. But about 3 months later, or 4 months later, I see the gal who had the migraine headache in a coffee shop. I said, Colleen, I said, by the way, I said, how's your headache? She says, I've had one minor headache in the last 3 months. And she says, I used to have them every week.
Yes.
You know, a couple times a week.
You had a PMS one?
Yeah, some gal on the ship, I was working with some gal, and she said, I've got PMS so bad. And so I worked, and it couldn't, she says, it's doing nothing. I said, well, I guess you're my third failure. I said, I'm trying, and absolutely nothing. The next day, she comes up to Elaine and says, my PMS is gone.
We're going to visit with Kathy next, and she will tell you of an ongoing back pain that she has lived with for 24 years, as well as a severe level of anxiety and insomnia. EFT provided great relief for her on all these issues and has made striking changes in her life.
Okay, so I was 18 when I first started having back pain.
18?
And that was, I'm 42 now, so that was a few years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I've off and on been to every kind of specialist, pain clinics, chiropractors. In fact, in the last, tend to be real, in my mind, I'm a high achiever. And I want to do more, and I have a lot of shoulds. I should do more, I could do this. And,
passengers on your bus?
A lot of passengers on my bus, you know, wanting me to do more and be more. And reality was that I was limited in some ways, and there was just a lot of anxiety in my system. And
I think you said to me something like the anxiety was always like on a 10-point scale, like, remember it right, like a 3 or a 4, and it went from there up, or did it get lower than that? I forgot. What numbers would you give the anxiety in general?
There were times during the day it was in the 7 to 10 category.
Oh.
Most of my days were like that, and I couldn't sleep at night. I'd wake up and feel very anxious, and I sleep so well now. It's wonderful.
Well, tell me about the sleeping, though. Yeah, you were having some sleep difficulties. Have you had sleeping difficulties at all in the last 5 or 6 weeks?
No.
Oh, none?
No.
And how often would you have sleeping difficulties before the seminar?
Oh, I would
sleep for like 2 or 3 hours and then wake up and then be awake for an hour or so and then fall back to sleep. And
but every night?
Yeah. And
oh, every night. Okay.
I used to have to go to bed like, oh, if I could go to bed at 8 o'clock, that'd be wonderful, just because I was always so tired. And now I usually go to bed at 10 o'clock and I sleep until about 4.
Uh-huh.
So, and sometimes 5 o'clock, but that's a lot more hours. That's like 6 or 7 hours a night.
Yes.
Versus 2 to 3, 4, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So I feel that, and when I wake up, I'm not anxious. I'm not thinking about things, or it's just it kind of was a feeling of impending doom.
Yeah. Well, the anxiety you had that got to a 7 to a 10 sometimes.
Yes.
Have you experienced much anxiety since the seminar and since you've been tapping?
There have been times.
Uh huh.
But I know that I can get out of it within 3 or 4 minutes by tapping.
Is it like half as much as it used to be, or 30% as much, or?
There are times when it has come on, like if a work project doesn't go well or something unexpected happens,
uh-huh.
Then it can shoot way up. But
no, I'm talking about percent of the time.
Oh, percent of the time?
Like if it used to be, every day you got dinner to a 7 to 10 at least once?
Oh, yes, of course.
Okay. What would it be per day now?
Oh, on the average, probably a 1 or so or 2 maybe.
In intensity, you mean?
Well, yes.
Oh, but doesn't get to 7 or 10?
Very rarely. I mean, I think I've had maybe 2 times, and that's because one of my children gets sick, and that throws off my carpool schedule, and I've got to make arrangements for this kid to get picked up. Or, you know, it's an unexpected thing. Like, how am I going to do all the things that in my day? Now the anxiety is tied to situations in which it's appropriate to be anxious.
Oh, instead of being an ongoing thing.
Instead of having a free-floating anxiety that's there all the time. That's the difference. I never...
There is no known cure for multiple sclerosis, and it is among the world's most difficult diseases to treat. In this next session, Adrian works with Bruce, a 7-year sufferer of MS, who is basically confined to a wheelchair. He has numerous symptoms, ranging from leg weakness to numbness in his hands, to back pain, to sleeplessness. Adrian addresses each of them over several sessions, and Bruce gets noticeable relief from all of them. You will notice that Bruce has a low voice, and so you may need to listen closely to hear him well. My apologies for that. We tried to amplify his voice electronically, but only made partial headway. The other voice you hear in this session is that of Bruce's wife, Vicky. The session starts with Adrian getting a little history from Bruce.
You know what I'd like to do, Bruce, is I'd like to get a little bit of a history from you. And so I know that you've been diagnosed with MS, correct?
Yes.
How long ago?
It was April of 87, 7 years.
Okay, of 87. And right now, you need to use a wheelchair, is that correct?
Most of the time.
Okay, and MS is something that goes into remission at different times, is that right?
Well, types of it do, yes.
And has yours?
No, I've got the progressive type, not the relapsing remitting. It's more the progressive type.
Okay. Physical symptoms do you have with the MS that you have? Is it a general weakness?
More legs and hands. A lot of numbness in my hands. Leg weakness. Low back weakness. Fatigue. And bladder control problems.
Okay. The numbness in your hands. On a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being a very high numbness. You know, a high intensity. 0 meaning there is no numbness. Can you give me a number?
7.
Okay, say, I want to get over this numbness in my hands.
I want to get over
your thumb. Your nose. Under your arm. How does the numbness feel now? Any different?
Yeah, probably a 5, maybe.
It's a 5. Okay. Say, I want to get completely over this numbness.
Okay.
I want to get completely over this number.
Under your arm. Say, I want to get completely over this numbness.
I want to get completely over this numbness.
Okay, if it was a 5, what does it feel like now?
Maybe a little less.
Okay.
4.
A 4. Say, I want to get completely over this numbness.
I want to get completely over this numbness.
Rub your sore spot and say, even though your chin, your arm, does it feel any different? The feeling?
I think so.
Okay.
Has
the numbness ever been diminished this much before?
Not for a long time.
Like years?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So this is the first time it's been diminished that much.
You both hands?
Yes.
Man, that is incredible.
Good. Good. Okay. Good. And because you don't really know what it would feel like, let's just see how that sits and stays. You have leg weakness.
Yes.
How does that weakness feel to you now?
Just like they're limp.
Okay, and it's like they're limp, so there's not much strength there, huh?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, on a scale of 0 to 10, how weak are they?
Probably an 8.
Okay, say I want to get over this weakness.
I don't want to get over this weakness.
Rub your sword. Under your arm. How does that weakness feel? If it was, we didn't give it a number when we started. Is it any better?
Yep.
It is better.
Standing up now.
You're standing up?
Yeah, I'm standing up.
Okay. How severe was the weakness when we started, from 0 to 10?
He had said it was an 8.
Okay, I didn't write that down. What is it now, Bruce?
Maybe a 4.
A 4. Okay, great. Let's do some more work on it. I want to get over the remainder. I want to completely get over this weakness.
I want to completely get over this weakness.
You're not. Your thumb under your arm. If your leg weakness was a 4, what does it feel like now? It's a 3 or 4.
Yep.
All right. Okay. Has the weakness been that little before?
Not for a long time.
What's a long time still?
Couple of years.
Couple of years that they felt that good. How about the numbness in your hands?
My right hand, I don't hardly notice it.
And has it come back to in your left hand a little bit?
Yeah, probably a little.
Okay, on a scale of 0 to 10, how much?
Left side?
Yeah.
Maybe a 4.
Let's say I want to get over this numbness in my left hand. Rub your sore spot. Bruce, how you doing?
Am I too early?
No, let me see. I bet, knowing you, you're right on time.
Good.
Yeah, right on time. How have you been feeling?
Tired.
Very tired, huh?
Yeah, probably lack of sleep.
You haven't been able to sleep?
Yeah, we had a knee stand with us last night. I didn't get much rest.
Okay, so is the tiredness... You know, I'm expecting a call, and do you mind if I put you on hold for a minute?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Because I'm expecting kind of an emergency family thing.
Oh, sure.
So I may have to pick that up. But the lack of sleep was only last night?
Yes, yeah, just because of the knees being there. Crying in the night a couple times.
Crying in the night?
Yeah.
Okay, but that's not an ongoing thing, so it's understandable that you're tired. Tell me about the numbness in your hands.
They're about 50% improved, probably.
So they remained 50% improved? That's good?
Yeah.
That's good. What about the leg weakness?
Oh, I was walking around quite a bit today, probably 100 feet or better a couple times.
I'm sorry, you were walking around?
Yeah, I was up walking around a couple times, about 100 feet probably.
And is that a big improvement for you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Good, good. Now, have you been doing the tapping regularly?
Yes.
Good, good. Well, that's certainly an improvement from last week.
Yes, yes.
Good. So we'll just need to do more on it. See?
Well, probably my lower back is bothering me more than anything.
Today?
Anytime.
Is that usually your lower back is hurting?
Yes.
Is that from the MS? Is that from needing to sit in a wheelchair that long?
They aren't saying. Nobody will say.
Oh, to the soreness.
Want to go the rest of the soreness.
Okay. Under your eye? Your thumb? Your chin? Your arm? How does it feel now, Bruce?
I'm starting to feel my feet again.
You are, huh?
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
For the first time since when?
I don't remember.
Good.
Standing up again and moving around in here.
This is miraculous.
I don't feel like dancing yet, but I mean, I feel different and better.
Hey, you know what, Vicki? You better be ready. This guy could be dancing pretty soon.
Ready.
Good. So this has been a first time in a while for you, huh?
Yeah.
Great.
Okay. I think that's why he has such a hard time describing how he feels, because, you know.
He's not sure because he hasn't felt it in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think you do a marvelous job of explaining it, too, you know. And I agree with you, Vicki. It's probably feelings that you haven't had. So that is fabulous. Good. Good. Okay. Look back. Okay. Let's summarize tonight what we did.
Okay.
We worked on your lower back.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And got that down.
Yeah.
From a pretty high number. Is that correct?
Yes.
How about the numbness in your hands? How is that now?
I'll notice it.
Okay. And the leg, the overall pain in your leg, is that gone?
Yeah.
All right. And the weakness?
Better.
And it sounds like you said that you could feel your feet for the first time in a long time, huh?
Yeah.
Sometimes we need to remind you of this so that we see all that's accomplished.
Yeah.
Well, with the procedure and what you're doing, what difference do you notice?
Sleeping better.
Good. You are sleeping better?
Yeah, I don't wake up with my back aching and the, what do you call it?
Can you speak up because I'm having a hard time hearing you?
I don't wake up tonight with cramps and spasticity like I did.
Oh, you're not waking up with that?
No.
Good. So that's an improvement, huh?
Yes.
Were you waking up with cramps?
Yeah, leg cramps and spasticity, legs jerking and looking uncomfortable.
Oh, and that's gone?
Yes.
Good.
That bothered me for 3 or 4 days.
Good.
This concludes this section of the audio tapes. Please return to the main menu to choose more options. Welcome to the audio tape portion of the Emotional Freedom Techniques course. This is Gary Craig, and I am your host for this unique audio tape experience. What you are about to hear are actual unrehearsed sessions with people who have received major benefits from the use of EFT, and they will substantially expand your skills with these techniques. For you to get the most from these tapes, however, you must have read the manual, with particular emphasis on the audio tape section. These tapes assume you have intimate familiarity with that section, so if you have not done so already, please stop this tape and do so now. It is critical to your mastery of these techniques. Now, assuming you have properly prepared yourself, let's begin. This first session is with Barbara, who has 3 issues, the first of which is dealing with the traumatic memory of crashing into a windshield over 15 years ago. You should know that Barbara is new to these techniques, and before this recording, I needed to describe the various tapping points and procedures for her. She also told me that her emotional intensity surrounding this memory was so intense that she couldn't discuss any details with me. On a 10-point scale, it was an obvious 10.
It allows me to hear
in your voice what's going on with the electrical system in your body, which is what we're addressing by these tapping, okay?
All right.
The emotion you're now feeling about this windshield event is, when you think about that, what's really happening is that thought is causing the electricity in your body to go zzzz, like a short circuit.
Right.
And that's what you're really feeling. And so when we tap on it, on the energy system appropriately, that's going to go away, and you won't have any problem with it. Okay? At least that's our goal for the moment. So I'm going to have you say some things, and that will tell me how to tell you how to tap, okay?
All right.
So just say this. Say, I want to get over this windshield thing.
I want to get over this windshield thing.
Okay. All right. Now I want you to do this. I want you to tap under your arm, okay? And then on that beginning of your collarbone point.
Uh-huh.
And then on your index finger. Now tell me, is the emotional issue still a 10?
No.
If you give it a number.
Like a 2.
Okay. So your emotional intensity has... I want to test it a minute, okay? In the minute you get uncomfortable, you tell me, okay, and stop. Because we're not into pain here.
Okay.
Okay.
I want to stop here and interject something that should help you with your education in these techniques. Before this session began, Barbara told me that she had both anger and fear regarding this windshield incident. As you learned in the manual, these are two aspects of the same memory, and often each must be handled separately before complete relief is attained. I suspicion this, and that is why I am having her test it by telling me the story. Barbara, by the way, is not aware of this different aspect notion because I hadn't mentioned it to her yet. All she knows is how she feels. Notice that her intensity climbs instantly back up to a 10. It is so intense, in fact, that she has difficulty speaking. If you are not familiar with these techniques, you might conclude that the tapping didn't work. In fact, it worked fine. We just have another aspect to deal with. Let's pick up the session where we left off.
Okay, I want you to tell me what happened. And tell me if you get intense when you tell it.
I can feel it.
Is it get back to a 10, did it?
Yeah.
Okay. Say, I want to be over this windshield emotion.
I want to be over this windshield emotion.
Okay. Tap under your arm, on your collarbone, under your eye. Okay, see, I want to be completely over this windshield emotion.
I want to be completely over this windshield emotion.
Okay, under your arm.
Under my arm.
Okay.
Back.
Now, I want you to do something called the 9 gamut, and let me walk you through that. Okay, now as you think about the windshield, what number would you give it?
0.
Are you prepared to talk about it now?
Yeah.
All right, tell me what happened.
When I hit the windshield?
Yeah.
Well, I was driving too fast, and there was a car parked the wrong way, and he hit that car, and I always saw my death as going through a windshield, but I hit the windshield, but I didn't die.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Did you hit it hard?
I broke the windshield.
Yeah. Are you at a 0 in intensity?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is amazing.
Barbara, that's how this works. The real cause of your emotional intensity is locked into your body's energy system. And when you tapped on it that way, you released all that. You'll also be interested to note that the likelihood of that being a permanent change for you, that is, it will never bother you again, is very high. That is, you're probably over it from this point forward. You can probably talk about it from this point forward, not have the anger or the fear about it.
These next two issues with Barbara involve a headache and insomnia. I think you will be interested in how she responds.
A headache, insomnia.
Do you have a headache now?
I'm not sure what the headache's caused by right now.
Do you have one?
Yep.
On a scale of 0 to 10, how intense is it?
About a 6.
About a 6. Say, I want to be over this headache.
I want to be over this headache.
Okay. Do this tapping. Tap under your eye. Is it still a 6?
No.
What number would you give it?
About a 4 now.
Okay. Say, I want to be completely over this headache.
I want to be completely over this headache.
Okay. Under your arm, collarbone, or beginning your collarbone, that index finger point. Are you still a 4?
No, I'm a 1.
Okay, see, I want to be completely over this headache.
I want to be completely over this headache.
Okay.
Under your arm? Are you still a one?
No, I don't have a headache.
Okay. Am I getting your interest?
Oh, boy, are you? Just 1 second, Gary.
Okay.
Absolutely amazing.
Well, we do that with some regularity here. And it's my guess that you have a number of emotional issues that we can handle just like the windshield one, which are contributing to your insomnia, etc. We're going to deal with it. We're going to try to deal with insomnia, you know, tonight. I don't know if it's going to help you to sleep or not tonight, okay?
Okay.
But we're going to deal with it anyway. It's kind of a first round, so to speak.
All right.
Now, you may well go to sleep, and it may well be fine. You may well be over it. I mean, that could happen. The odds are it will take more than just this one round. Okay. See, I want to get over this insomnia.
I want to get over this insomnia.
Okay, let me see. Tap under your arm. Say, I want to be completely over this insomnia.
I want to be completely over this insomnia.
Okay, tap under your eye. On your collarbone point. Under your arm. Your index finger. Say, I want to be completely over this insomnia.
I want to be completely over this insomnia.
Okay. On your collarbone point? Say, I want to be completely over this insomnia.
I want to be completely over this insomnia. God, I'm so sleepy, I can't stand it.
Are you really?
Oh.
Okay. Well, I don't find any more left. Why don't you go to sleep and see what happens?
Next, we come to one of the most engaging sessions on these tapes. Dell is a 52-year-old painting contractor who frequently finds himself high up on rooftops painting chimneys. The problem here is that he has a severe height phobia, which causes him intense daily stress while he is on those rooftops. It has him locked up tight physically. He comes home at night with severe tension in his neck and back. In this session, Dell takes a cellular phone up on his girlfriend's roof in San Diego, California, while I walk him through the EFT process from my home 600 miles away. You may hear a thump, thump in the background. Please know that is caused by a malfunction in the tape recorder and is not someone's heart thumping. Now listen, I think you will enjoy this.
And I can get within, say, 2 feet of the end, and what I'd like to do is get within, say, a foot. You know, just about a foot.
Uh-huh.
Something like that. I can get within 2 feet of it, and my heart starts racing like a son of a gun.
How far are you away now?
I'm just about two tiles away.
What's that?
Just about 2 feet.
About 2 feet?
Yeah.
And are you starting to get the phobic reaction now?
A little bit, yeah.
On a scale of 0 to 10, what are you right now?
Oh, probably about a 7.
About a 7?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on a second. Say, I want to be over this fear.
I want to be over this fear.
Okay, do this tapping, all right?
Okay.
Tap under your arm. Tap that collarbone spot.
Okay. For the next 5 minutes, I instruct Dell on the EFT procedures while he stands on the rooftop tapping on certain of his energy meridians. As he does this, his emotional intensity lessens from a 7 to a 3 to a 1 to a half. Let's pick this session up again from there.
Tap under your arm again. Okay, just under your arm.
Uh-huh.
Are you still a half?
No, it's gone, Gary.
It's gone?
Yeah.
How do you know it's gone?
Because I'm standing right on the edge here looking down. I don't get dizzy and I don't get frightened, and I'm standing putting all the weight on my right leg.
What number would you normally be?
Oh, Jesus. Right here, I would be a 10.
You would be a 10, but right now it's fine?
Oh, it's fine. It's great.
Now, I don't want you to do anything dangerous.
Oh, I'm not doing anything dangerous.
Of course, you're on roofs all the time, aren't you?
Yeah.
But what else could you do to test it while you're up there?
Well, let's see here. Let me go up the other side of the roof and see what happens.
Okay.
It's helped a lot, Gary. I mean, I can already tell you that going down this side right here, my heart is not thumping, and I am not, emotionally involved in this.
Okay, great. How long has it been since you've been able to be that calm?
What's that? Oh, I've never been able to be this calm since I was a little boy.
How old are you now?
52.
52.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's great, Gary.
So is it, are you at the, on the other side of the roof now?
I'm on the other side of the roof, and I'm looking straight down, and there's nothing.
You mean you're a zero for intensity?
I am a zero. As a matter of fact, I'm standing here looking right straight down, and I'm even bending over, you know, because I don't want to do something unsafe.
Sure.
But I mean, this is something that I've never been able to do before.
Phobias like Dell's create a lot of stress and tension, which often shows up in physical ailments. A pleasant side effect of EFT is that pain often disappears when a phobia is relieved. Several weeks after this session with Dell on the roof, I spoke with his girlfriend, Judy Ann. She has some interesting insights to share with us.
When Dell and I talked, why don't you just tell me what your experience has been since Dell has had this experience?
Well, what I noticed for him is that the first day he went to work on the roofs before the treatment, he had a severe pain and discomfort and was literally unable to go back up on the roof because he had some phobia, evidently, and it manifested itself in his body as well as mentally.
So you think the stress and strain from being on the roof with the height phobia showed up
as
other things in his body?
He was real stiff and sore and had a tremendous amount of neck pain, lots of other things. He thought it was from working at the angle on the roof. But after we talked about it, and he was sharing with me what he was feeling, I thought maybe it was more than that because he doesn't have those kinds of problems and he uses his body in lots of weird positions all day long, painting, and has for years.
Yes.
Anyway, after his treatment with you, he was able to go back up on the roof, and he worked every day, all day long up there, and never experienced any more neck pain or any other kind of fear prior to the treatment. It was just remarkable to see him. He was so excited about the progress and the lack of discomfort that he felt. It was really unreal.
It's interesting. How the lack of a stress of the phobias create great stress.
Yeah.
Especially a height phobia, and you have to work with it. How that shows up in your body. And so we took care of this stress, and while I don't purport to be a physician at all, or an MD or anything like that, I see consistently that physical ailments tend to recede. And that's what you noticed here, right?
Exactly. He was having a lot of... His neck was so stiff that he could hardly turn it, and it was keeping him awake at night.
And how long has it been since he's been let's say, pain-free or symptom-free?
Ever since you had the treatment, he's finished the roofs. There were 220-some units that he actually... did chimneys on. That's what he was doing on the roof. He was repainting chimneys. And they're all finished. They've been finished now for about 2 weeks. And he hasn't had any discomfort at all.
Ah, so it's been, was it a month or 6 weeks or 5 weeks since?
It's been at least a month. I would say maybe 6 weeks since you worked with him. And he had, after that point in time, he had to go up on the chimneys almost every day during the week,
right,
to work on them, and they would do, you know, 2-3 buildings a day. Didn't have any problem.
Yeah, excellent. Judy Ann, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Newcomers to EFT are almost always a bit skeptical. This is healthy, of course, and to be expected. After all, the methods are a bit unusual. The most commonly asked question after people see impressive emotional results like Dell's is, does it last? The answer is yes. The result is usually permanent. Here's how Dell tells it over a year later.
Okay, Dell, it's been a while since we were on the telephone with each other, helping you with your height phobia.
Yeah. A year and 5 months.
Year and 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
What I would be curious about, and I think what the people listening to this tape would be curious about, is to how well that's held up. Did it come right back? Did it stay away? Why don't you just tell us what went on?
Well, it stayed away. It was really an immediate relief. I couldn't really imagine how quickly it went if I hadn't done it.
How high have you been?
Well, I got into skydiving after I worked with you.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I jumped to 12,500 feet.
Oh, you did? Skydiving.
Oh, yeah. That's something that I just really fell in love with, and I couldn't have done that either.
That was one of the amazing things, is opening that plane door and getting out on the edge of the plane and just diving off.
That's good. One of the things that I've discovered, you know, using these techniques for people over time, mm-hmm. is that quite often the people with the most intense phobias, and yours was intense.
Very intense. Yeah. I mean, it absolutely had me locked up tight.
Yeah. The people with the most intense phobias, after they do this, they have less fear of height or snakes or water or whatever their form of fear was than most of the rest of the population. And that is because almost everybody has some kind of a abnormal fear of heights. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't get very intense. But when you do this process, quite often, even the most intense people have less fear than the average citizen.
Well, that sure happened with me. But I know one thing, working with you has stopped it dead.
Yes, good, good.
That's amazing. It's really great.
I'm pleased that you would spend the time with this. This is going to be very useful to other people. There's a lot of people, you know, that have a little disbelief in it because it looks so strange. I mean, you got to admit it's pretty out of the ordinary.
Yeah, it is, but the thing of it is, though, is that you can do it, and you just do it automatically, and it's having results. I mean, you don't have to sit there and tell yourself, you know, give yourself affirmations or whatever. It doesn't, you know. I mean, it's just wonderful.
Yeah, and just to be clear on this. The only tapping you ever did was that session, the last tapping you ever did was that session we had when you were on the roof that we recorded before. That's you have not tapped yourself since.
That's it. That was it.
In this next session, Adrian is helping Mike get over the pain involved in the recent breakup with his lady friend. Mike has several degrees in psychology and thus has a hard time believing in this process and accepting his obvious relief, at least at first.
What I'm going to call love pain.
Yeah.
Does that?
That's what it is.
That's what it is. On a scale, 0 meaning that there's no pain there, and 10 meaning it's that high. Give me a number.
Oh, about 6 right now.
Okay, say I want to get over this.
It'll be about a 9.
It what?
It works on me somehow, some reason, I don't know why.
Okay, let's say I want to get over this pain. Say that out loud.
I want to get over this pain.
Okay, I want you to tap. All right, think about your love pain. Think about her. And if you were a 6 before, what is it now?
I don't know. I've been thinking about all this tapping. I haven't even thought about it.
Well, think about her. Envision her. Put her in. Think about your phone call that she treated you kind of rude. Think about that.
Oh, she didn't treat me rude.
Okay.
That was the problem.
Okay. What does it do to you thinking about that now, the words she said to you? If it was a 6 before, what is it now?
I don't know. Seem to be there.
It doesn't seem to be there?
No.
Okay. So the same feel when you were feeling bad when you called me, was it a physical feeling in your stomach? Did your stomach tighten or what did you feel like?
Well, it was, what did I feel like? I was feeling like I wanted to call her and start things again, and I really don't, but I was arguing with myself about that.
And how do you feel about that right now?
I don't think I need to do that.
Okay. So you feel okay?
Yeah.
Note that Mike got immediate relief here, but he's not so sure what happened. This is typical when there is disbelief. The relief actually occurs, but it takes a while for it to be recognized. Now listen to his call the next day, where he does acknowledge the obvious change, but is still inclined to call it voodoo. Nonetheless, he says, it just works.
Okay, Mike, this is the following morning after we did the procedure on you last night for the love pain, and we're talking now the following morning, and you just... Tell me what you just said to me and repeat.
Well, okay. I told you it worked fantastic. I couldn't believe it.
Okay.
It's crazy. It's off the wall.
Uh-huh.
I've got an undergraduate degree in psychology and sociology and two graduate degrees in counseling psychology and psychometry. And so I've studied this kind of stuff academically. And this is voodoo. It don't work, but it does. It just works.
This next session, Adrian was called by Janet, who had just taken on a new job that required her to make presentations. Her problem was she had a significant fear of public speaking, or, more precisely stated, a fear of making these presentations. Here's how it went.
The reason I'm calling is because I'm trying to get over a fear of public speaking.
Okay.
And I have a first presentation to do in front of my boss. It's a new job, and, you know, I want to get ahead.
Okay. Let's say for me, I want to get over this fear of public, of giving this presentation.
I want to get over the fear of giving this presentation.
All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, when you think about giving this presentation tomorrow, how anxious are you?
About 5.
Okay. Let me give you some points here to tap. Under your eye? Call it. All right. If it was a 5, what is it now?
Okay. Much better. 2.
A 2. Okay. Say I want to get completely over this fear of the presentation.
I want to get completely over this fear of the presentation.
Okay, I want you to tap the side of your hand. What's it feel like now?
Fine.
It's a 0?
Yeah.
Say it's a 0.
This is a 0.
Okay, it is.
Are you testing me now?
Yeah, it was a 0.
You know what I've got to do is do this before the presentation?
Yeah, you can. Sure, and we'll write it down.
The next day, of course, Janet made her presentation, and then she called Adrian to report in on how it went. As you listen to this, please notice the change in her thoughts here, because she is even entertaining the thought of enjoying making presentations.
Okay. You're just calling me to tell me how the treatment went for you.
Oh, gosh, it was great. I mean, I arrived at work, and my boss, he's a bit moody, I think.
Yeah.
So I was a bit worried about that, you know, frightened I'd done something wrong, but I stood up in front of everyone and talked, and I think I'm going to be good at presentations.
Great.
You know, thanks to you, I don't think it's something that should scare me if I've got products in front of me that I can push.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's not like you're standing there twiddling your thumbs.
So were you nervous?
No.
Good.
You really helped me.
Good.
You really did, Adrian. Thanks a lot.
Oh, good.
The whole basis of the job is going to be presentations.
Oh, fabulous. Well, I'm going to turn this off so I can just talk to you.
This may be the most humorous session on these tapes, especially towards the latter part, even though we are dealing with some serious issues. Ingrid had irritable bowel syndrome, ever-present headaches, and what she called burning or itching eyes, as well as constipation. She gains obvious relief by using EFT and becomes rather entertaining in her reactions.
Wonderful. I understand today you are happy.
Yes, I'm very happy.
Why are you happy?
Because I had a bowel movement in the middle of the day, and that never happens.
And you have been a sufferer of constipation, have you not?
Yes, I have.
And for how long has this been?
Years.
Well, give me an estimate.
All of my adult life, I would say.
Which is how many years?
And I'm 47.
You're 47, so.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
That is a long time.
And so you take, like, was it psyllium husk or something like that?
Husk every night before I go to bed so that I'm ensured that I'll have a bowel movement in the morning.
And you have stomach discomfort when you things don't work out right?
Yes. Yes, I do. Yes. My stomach is distended. It pooches out. It's uncomfortable. When I take the psyllium husk, it does 99% of the time guarantee that I will have at least one bowel movement in the morning, but I only go in the morning, and it's never in the afternoon.
Never in the afternoon. And here it is, one something rather in the afternoon. See, what's the date? November
17th.
November, is that right? November 17th.
Yep.
Okay. When did you and I first start working on this? A couple months ago?
Actually, we started conversing about it a couple months ago, but we really got serious with the tapping October 23rd.
October 23rd.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
And up until that time, you had a number of things going on. You had irritable bowel syndrome, which is the first thing you talked about.
Yes.
Which is connected, you probably think, with the constipation.
Sure that it is.
And on a scale of 0 to 10, the discomfort you had abdominally ranged between
six and eight or so? What were the numbers?
It could be six to eight, right? Some days it was a two or a three, but when we started, it was probably like a six to eight.
Yeah, I'm talking about what happened before we started doing the tapping.
Six to eight.
Typically, and it would be like that most of the day?
Absolutely.
Okay. And then you also had headaches.
Headaches.
And the numbers on the headaches, which I think were also just about there, just about all day long.
Yes, all day long.
What were that? What was that?
Between six and eight.
Six and eight?
Huh?
Okay.
I kept up with a headache. I mean, it was just a normal routine.
Yeah, and you also had what you referred to as burning eyes, kind of like smarting eyes or something like that.
Burning eyes.
And what numbers were those?
Probably like five, six.
Five, six. So that was about what they tended to average?
Huh?
And was there most of the day?
Yes.
Every day?
6 days out of seven, yeah.
Yeah. And how long have you had the headaches and the burning eyes?
I would say for 3, 4, 5, 6 years, maybe.
6 years.
Yeah,
okay.
But it seems to have gotten worse in the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, we started tapping, and little by little things would change, and you have had a cessation across the board in the constipation, the IBS pain, the burning eyes, and the headaches, have you not?
Uh-huh, right.
Okay. As we speak right now, what is your headache?
My headache's a one.
It's a one.
It's a low-grade one.
Okay, now for the last 2 or 3 weeks as we've talked, it tends to stay at roughly a one. It has gotten up a little bit, but it's averaged about a one, is that right?
It's averaged about a one or a two. There was one day from October the 23rd where it got like about a six. But on the average now, it's been about one, two, max three.
Yeah, okay. And then the burning eyes, what are they right now?
Right now they're one.
They're a one. Okay, what about any abdominal, and typically, what have they been in the last 3 or 4 weeks, I'd say?
My abdomen?
No, the eyes.
The eyes. They have been, lately they've been like up to a three, one, two, or three. Before we started tapping, they were like a five or a six.
Yeah.
But lately okay. They have come down some.
Okay. I have not remembered you telling me that either your headache, you got that 1-6, I remember.
Right.
But I haven't heard the number 8 at all.
No.
And on the burning eyes, I remember numbers like 1s and 2s with an occasional 3. I don't know if that works in your mouth, but do I remember it right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And today it's a 1. How about any abdominal discomfort today, right now?
I would say that it's probably about a 1.
It's about a 1?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, all right.
A little bit.
All right. Well, that's great.
That's better.
We're probably not done. We're going to keep tapping, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And everyone should know that I've been tapping. You've suggested that I tap many times during the day, not just once in the morning, once at night. I've been tapping on an average of, say, 8 to 11 times all during the day.
Yes.
Yes.
Even though my suggestion was just a bit higher than that.
I'm trying.
Yeah. Okay. The other thing I think is worth noting here, there's an unusual characteristic in how you respond to these treatments.
Yes.
Most people, when they do them, like for a headache, for example, the headache will go away like right now.
Right.
Yours waits an hour before it does it.
Yes, it does.
And that has been consistent. So we had one time where it went from a 6 to a 3 to a 0 when we first started.
Yes.
But other than that, it's always been
just been a delayed reaction.
Always been a delayed reaction.
Huh?
Which is not a character flaw, by the way.
Huh? You?
You're welcome. It's just something that happens. And it happens. It's kind of rare, but for those that are listening, if they don't get immediate results, you know, every once in a while, it's like 1 or 2 out of 100 do this. Wait a half an hour, an hour, and see what happens.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's usually delayed.
Okay, well, we may talk about this again.
Okay.
Ingrid,
yes.
Are you still happy?
I'm happy. I'm really happy.
All right. Say that again. You are just thrilled?
I'm thrilled. I am. I'm really thrilled.
How thrilled are you?
I am so thrilled. You just don't know how good this feels. This is wonderful. I could tell you that would be X-rated.
Well, X-rate me. That's okay.
Oh, you're going to put it on tape?
It's on tape. Go ahead.
We can always erase it, right?
We can always erase it. We can always say it was just too out of taste.
I'm embarrassed.
Well, you don't have to.
Shoot, why not? You know, this is a great time to have sex when your abdomen is flat.
Well, that might make it. I don't know. Would you say that again?
I wish that everybody was constipated so that they could tap and realize that this stuff works.
Are we recording this?
Yes, we're recording this.
It's wonderful. No, I don't want everybody to be... I just want half the population to be constipated so that they could realize that this works. So yeah, they can see results.
It's sort of like batting your head against the wall, so it feels so good when you stop or something like that.
Right. I mean, this is results. I mean, when you least expect it, you have a bowel movement in the middle of the afternoon, and it's heaven.
Well, just so our listening audience at home,
yeah,
who's listening into your progress.
Yeah. I'll try to stop laughing.
That's all right. Might get a little education out of this. What we've had you do now is tap frequently throughout the day.
Right.
Several days in a row. You're probably in about a week of it or something like that?
Oh.
More than a week, but a week or so of just every day tapping just for constipation.
Right. No, not about 2 weeks.
2 weeks. It's been 2 weeks?
Yeah,
okay.
2 weeks.
Well, and the issue is you kept doing it and you didn't really notice anything.
Oh, right.
Except a little something here and there, which you could excuse or explain by some other means, right?
Right.
If you wanted to.
Right.
And then you were driving to San Jose today. Tell the story, Ingrid.
Well, my normal routine is I have a bowel movement in the morning, and then after breakfast I have another little one. And then I drove to San Jose, I had some appointments in San Jose, and driving down the freeway usually makes me very tense, and I know I'm never going to have another one for the rest of the day. So I'm tapping because Gary would be mad at me if I didn't tap, so I'm tapping in the car, I tap everywhere I can, whenever I can, come back to my apartment about 2:30, and lo and behold, we're going to have a bowel movement.
Mother Nature taps you on the shoulder and says, guess what, Ingrid?
Shoulder said, guess what, it's another one. Oh, yes!
That is rare, though, is that right?
Oh, very rare.
Okay.
Very rare.
That does not mean the constipation is over, but the point is, it's metaphorically, we kept having you knock on the door with a tapping.
Right.
And sometimes it takes a while for the body to heal one way or the other.
Right.
But here you've had yet another sign that rarely happens.
Yes. Absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
You want to say goodbye to everybody?
Bye, everybody. Keep tapping.
This next interview is with Paulette, who before visiting with me and experiencing EFT, had a considerable fear of flying. She would get very nervous at the mere thought of getting on an airplane. I'm going to let her tell the story.
Okay, now, just so we have this down on tape, you and I talked on the phone for the first time. We've never even met each other, have we?
No.
Personally.
No, we've never met.
We talked for the first time, what was it, 2 weeks ago or so?
Yes, it was 2 weeks.
We had you tap certain places, and I instructed you how to do that over the phone.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And among the issues that we were dealing with was the flying phobia.
Yes.
Would you do me a favor now for the tape? Would you describe the severity of your flying phobia in the past, and then what happened by contrast on this particular flight?
Normally, I am extremely unwilling to get on the plane. You might say I have to get on, and I know, but it's like I get on, and it's, the whole time I'm trying to find my seat and sitting down, I'm just very, very anxious and wish the trip was over and we were down.
On a scale of 0 to 10, how anxious do you get?
At least a 9.5.
Uh-huh.
And the day that we did speak, I had, as a matter of fact, I'd only talked to you hours before I got on the plane. And when I got to the airplane, I had no anxiety just even getting into the airport, even getting me to the parking lot bothers me. From the parking lot to the airport, I felt really great. And then when I got up to the sitting down, I sat down, and normally that waiting is not really good, but I had to sit and wait about maybe 15 minutes, and I'm normally fidgeting the whole 15 minutes. I had no problem. I just sat there and was ready and very calm, got on the plane.
On a scale of 0 to 10, were you a 0 or maybe a 1 or a 2 or something?
Getting on the plane?
No. On a scale of 0 to 10, as you were on the plane and going this flying experience, were you
staying
calm? You were a 0. Okay.
0 when I was on the plane.
Uh-huh.
And through the whole flight, I was a 0.
When's the last time that happened?
It's never happened.
How many times have you been on an airplane?
Oh, I think about 7 or 8 times.
In your life?
In my life.
Oh, okay. So you don't fly very much because of this?
Right. I don't like it.
Yeah.
So this made it very, acceptable to fly. And on the way home, I ended up, the plane was not in the correct hangar, and no one had told me. So I was a little bit anxious because I couldn't find the plane. But when, as soon as I found the plane and got on the plane, I was fine. I thought, oh, this is going to be not a great experience, being that, you know, now I'm kind of rushed. And I was the last person on the plane, found a chair, sat down, and the only thing I was mad about is they didn't tell me where they'd changed the hangar of the plane. Otherwise, right. As far as anxiety, I felt great, and it was a very nice flying experience.
Okay, so there were two flights, the flight to Reno and the flight back.
Yes.
And in both cases, except for the one little anxiety bit about where's the airplane on
right.
the way back, there was no anxiety.
Right, no anxiety, not for flying. It was just that I couldn't find the plane to get on it.
And how long did it take us to do the tapping?
For the plane, I think it was just a matter of minutes.
Yeah, it was just a few minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you might be pleased to understand that that will probably be permanent for you.
Oh, really? I might not have to do the tapping again?
Oh, probably not. No. I mean, you've had the experience of flying now. You've only tapped once. The only reason, typically, that you would need to tap again
uh-huh.
would be if some other aspect of it came up. See, quite often a phobia has more than one aspect, like when you were thinking of the airplane as we were doing the tapping. If some people have more than one phobia, like for example, if they have claustrophobia by being inside that tube, if you will,
uh-huh.
and then they have a fear of heights, and they have a fear of landing, and a fear of taking off, and a fear of the wings falling off, and you know, all kinds of fears get in there.
Right.
Or they've had several traumatic experiences that come up as a memory. If you've had all kinds of things put together like that, then it takes more than one series of tapping.
I see.
But since you've had no qualms whatsoever since, the likelihood is we've gotten it all.
Great.
Now, if something does come back up, it's not that it didn't work. You must understand that.
Right.
It's not that it didn't work. It's that another aspect has come up which now needs to be treated or tapped away, if you will.
This concludes this section of the audio tapes. Please return to the main menu to choose more options.